Ricola.
Bring my game
Kenny,
down.
Get out of my head.
Evil Aaron.
Everybody, everybody, get up, get up, testify. We are here with WTF and TFW, the genetic opera of your plastic toys. I am Vangelis, and here with me today is Aaron.
How's it going?
Not bad, Aaron.
Nothing terribly witty to say.
No.
No.
Also no. Here today is Omega's Prime.
I, too, lack in the wit tonight.
Yep. Also here today is Lupus Convoy.
Can't talk becoming a Pokemon Master. Okay, I'll put this down and say, I feel witty, oh so witty. And everyone else can finish the rest of that song.
Every single person on the internet is playing Pokemon right now.
Dude, what's wrong with you? How come you're not in
I don't
with
know
this?
What's wrong with me, because clearly something is wrong with me, because I got tweets going like, hey man, you pumped for Pokemon Black and White? And I was like, nope. And then everyone...
Why's it gotta be about color?
Hey. Pokemon had to draw a line in the sand after all these years of all these soft color things. I'm like, no, you know what it is? It's black and white. This is the mature
Doesn't
Pokemon.
Matter if you're black and white.
Oh, God. Ah. You had to go there.
Of course I did.
Isn't this the Pokemon also that introduces finally the moral ambiguity of, hey, by the way, we're cramming these innocent monsters into little boxes and making them fight each other?
Yes, it does.
Like, isn't that the crux? Yeah, that's why I actually am interested in that one, because I'm like, that's a storyline that should have happened, like, in Pokemon 3. And this is what, like, Pokemon 15. That's why it's Pokemon Black and White, because we're throwing it down now.
I'll admit, in the Game Boy days, I did play the Pokemons, but I am... two systems or three systems back on my portable gaming, so I keep that out of mind.
I played the balls out of Pokemon Blue on my gray brick Game Boy.
I see what you did there.
Hells to the yes.
I found my old brick Game Boy the other day. I plugged in Pokemon Gold. Everything still worked. I had a bunch of dust-collected Pokemon wondering why the hell I let them rot for a decade.
All emaciated. Cheeks sunken in.
Oh God! I forgot to feed you. Well, you ate my Pikachu while I was gone.
Well, this is probably the best Pokemon podcast that's ever been recorded. We are here today to talk about Transformers. Although I'm sure Pokemon will come up again.
Yeah. Some point.
Never since the Ghost Tower of Dead Pokemans has there been a story as mature as Pokemon Black and White. Someone's gonna get mad at me for that.
Just a bit.
We're gonna start off today talking about some Transformers Club. Transformers Club comic news, actually. First up, we got a press release for BotCon 2011's comic book, and we know now who's doing the art. It's, like, the guy I thought who was gonna do it, which is Marcelo Mateer! Story editor Marty Eisenberg, has written it. We got a cover picture showing the Stunticons, or the Stunt Convoy, doing circusy stuff, and I think it looks pretty cool. It sounds like this takes place literally right after Season 3, and goes into the idea of, like, what do Cybertronians do for entertainment? So I'm pretty much digging it. I don't know, what about you guys? How do you feel about this concept of the Stunt Convoy rolling into town to do a show?
Aaron. I think it's neat. I still wonder how they're going to get away with having Decepticon emblems on what should be entertainment, unless they come across as completely like we have, you know, the WWE, where they're faking it. They're not really Decepticons, right?
What?
Well, Motormaster
wrestling's fake.
Motormaster is the Macho Man.
Yeah.
That is there. Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I'm wondering if, like, I can't remember now. Like, are they going to have the Decepticon symbols on them? Like, do they have them on?
Yeah, the artwork has the Decepticon emblem with that round checkered.
Maybe it is like they're behind it. That's how they play it. They're like, no, we're not actually Decepticons. We're the Decepticons, and we're here to do a show.
Yeah. And then we're going to find out that they actually
have the Decepticon symbol on there.
Hmm.
The preview comic. Moving violations, like the first image where it has the, I guess the billboard for it. It's got the checkered circle, but it doesn't have the Decepticon symbol in it.
Ooh, you see, that's what I thought they were gonna do. Maybe that's how they're gonna first show up. I don't know.
That's what I see. Or they're completely trolling us the whole way, and it is just gonna be they're the air quotes Decepticons. And it's all just a big stunt show the whole time, and we don't get any real conflict in the comic. And Savage will point and laugh at all of us fanboys getting upset.
Want to see the rest of this story? Come check out the G.I. Joe comic. This also ties into like the other thing I was going to bring up is we also got a prequel comic which involves animated Cheetor. But just quickly, Omegas, any thoughts yourself on the 2011 BotCon comic?
Not too much. Maybe it's just me. I'm trying not to get too hyped up on the comic because I probably won't see it. I'm not going this year.
The comic's gonna be put out through Diamond. Usually they get put out a couple months later, so you can at least get the comic.
Like I'm gonna torture myself here. I'll read about all the stuff that I'll.
Hey, it's new animated. Do you want it or do you not want it?
Oh boy! Yeah, don't do that to me. That'll make me buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3.5, they say it everywhere.
Yeah. Don't you want to know what happens?
I'm going broke already. Don't need more.
Don't complain about spending money. A little bit more. I spent the most money. This month I am the guy who spent the most money.
Oh, I know. I know.
I think you should pick it up when it comes out, Diamond Distributing. That's my little plug, by the way.
Plus, you'll normally get, like, extra bios and stuff that people that were at BotCon didn't get.
Yeah, so we can all complain to you, going like, hey, you punk, why do you have stuff we don't have? We actually went to the show.
Oh, yeah, here, check out my whole fancy bios. Can't hold a candle to your dozen exclusive toys.
Exactly.
That's right.
Obv. Lupus, how do you feel about the Decepticon book?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, okay, honestly, animated's kind of worn off on me since we don't have any actual incoming material. Now that we have some incoming material, I'm all stoked, especially with this comic, with, you know, sitting there and pointing out all these little cameos that Derek's tossed in. Or not Derek, but Marcello. Using Derek's work. I mean, we've got, what, Rosanna walking one of the dino cassettes?
That's different artists. That's what, we're going to get to that in a sec.
But still, like, I'm just stoked for that aspect. Like, oh, we're getting all this. Ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen in the comic?
I dropped something. Yeah, I guess
I said something wrong.
Oh, so subtle. Dropped something. Hold on.
These stupid things like you'll hear in what we got this week. There was a comic put out recently, a two-pager, which is kind of a prequel to the BotCon comic and a little bit of character work for animated Cheetor, called Moving Violations. And that one, as far as I understand, all the character designs were put together by Derek Wyatt. Like, he did up model sheets for them, by what I've seen BotCon posting. But the comic itself was written and drawn by the BotCon lore dudes, Trent Troop and Greg Sepulak. So they're the ones who drew and wrote that one. And are probably the guys who came up with a lot of the ideas for who is going to appear in it. Primarily it features animated versions of Crumple Zone and Ransack, which I know has gotten some people very excited on my own Twitterverse.
Oh,
I just said Twitterverse. I'm horrible.
But there are a bunch of cameos in that one, including cameos from the Almanac model sheets, from the April Fool's picture, etc. You know who I'm talking about. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And
you're that, not in there, are you?
No, I'm not in there. They don't like me enough. That's why it's kind of a low tier comic, because it's missing the most important animated Easter egg. So you know, I'm not gonna judge. But... that was a horrible thing to say. It's interesting, and also that we get to see that animated Cheetor is a somewhat overzealous cop. We get to hear that he is one of the most experimentally upgraded Autobots on Cybertron. He's about as fast, if not faster, than Blur, he says. So I thought it was kind of fun. It was short. Makes me look forward to the BotCon comic. I am predicting I'll probably think the BotCon comic was cooler, but that's because I adore Marcelo Matier's artwork as well. So I don't know, your guys' thoughts on moving violations, Aaron?
Going for the cliche hotshot kid and overworked desk sergeant.
I'm too young to be too old for this.
Yeah. I was just waiting for just the straight up getting too old for this blank.
Getting too old for this slag is what we... Oh, no, we can't say that in the UK.
And then it sets it up as, you know, how much trouble can you get into Safe Secure Iacon, huh? Huh? And if that wasn't enough of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, then right underneath that they have Find Out at BotCon.
It's like, hey, guys, you know what's cool? Foreshadowing.
So yeah. There's a difference between foreshadowing and, hey, look, it's foreshadowing. See that right there? That's foreshadowing. The thing that we went under it? That's foreshadowing, too. Shh.
Oh, yeah, that's the boy the BotCon rolls. You know, it's good promo material. And the little two-pager had enough, you know, fan-wanky stuff and a neat little story. It's kind of like the first look we've gotten at animated Cheetor's personality, so I dig that, too. But before I start taking over all the talking points. Hey, Omegas, what did you think of the comic book?
Oh, this I liked. This I really liked. Being the Cybertron fanboy, I did like seeing Crumple Zone and Ransack once again.
Hey, do you know who's never going to get toys?
Crumple Zone and Ransack?
Yeah, I said to be mean for a second. I'm sorry.
No. I love Cybertron, but I am not in denial. Trust me. But Flap's in there, too.
I didn't notice him in there until Derek posted up the mugshot. And then, you know what's really depressing is I had that reaction that I know at least someone else had and was not brave enough to stand up and say that they had. Which was, you know, that's not Mudflap! Mudflap's orange!
Oh.
And then that Mudflap's all like, how dare you say that about me! Oh, ho, ho, ho!
But it was nice to see those two again. I like that they went with a dark Crumple Zone look.
Yeah.
Always like that one better, and it avoids the problem of him looking like an anorexic bulkhead.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, he's got the underbite, so that was a very good idea. And I always liked dark Crumple Zone as well, because that's where we kind of won. That's where the domestic toys won, because Japan never got him, and he was a way cooler version, I think.
Yeah,
unless you accidentally threw away those extra fins.
Hey, Aaron, what's up? Sadness aside, Lupus, what did you think of Moving Violation?
Pretty good. I mean, from what we've seen of this, I could really see Depth Charge being good buddies with Fanzone, them just kicking back, coffee.
Talking about
they seem like they'd be great bosom buddies.
That's the one thing that kind of gets me sad is like they're like, it's animated season 3.5, 22 pages.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that's it.
It's like I'm gonna be very depressed when I get through those 22 pages. I'm very sure, because I'm like, all right, well, that was fun. Animated's back to being over.
But you'll also have
BotCon 2012
convention schedule in there.
Is it part of the animated canon?
Sure.
Okay, now that I can get behind.
Well, the comic does say Find Out at BotCon 2011. So obviously BotCon 2011's in continuity here.
That's true. I just want to know, like, you know, am I going to be going over to, you know, various Wikipedia things adding in the BotCon 2011 schedule under animated season 3.5. Because, you know,
dude, you're canon. Make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
So BotCon 2011, canonically, Vangelis from the Almanac left the burger store and went to the convention and then had a really good time. End entry, submit, and then later on. Why did
so
you
by doing
that,
then
out?
You also get the club into canon.
That's true. And it's like, hey, you want to be an animated canon? Join the club. Oh, that would be a really, that would be a cruel membership drive.
I'm so sorry, Omegas. You can't be there.
Hey, guess what, Omegas? You're not canon.
It's okay. I can be fan fiction.
I am animated fan fiction.
I think that's actually technically worse, isn't it?
Well, there. I mean, are you normal fan fiction or are you smutty fan fiction?
Oh, no, Slash. Not. No,
I am a Slash OC.
You go away.
That one's out there for all the people who know what Slash OC means. What's up, guys? What a horrible topic to get onto.
You've completely lost my trust, Lupus.
I had your trust in the first place?
Lupus has your trust in my fanfiction.
Oh, dear gods.
Everybody, it's time for your Omegas Prime animated fanfiction. Go.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
I feel inspired. I must write.
No, you won't.
Time
to claim copyright infringement.
It doesn't always have to be Slash, you know. It could be normal.
I just have to change one out of 10 letters. It's okay.
Yeah, you're not TJ Omega in the fiction. You're JT Omega.
JT Omega.
Somebody completely different.
From the Shattered Glass universe.
Spend all day trademarking variations of my name.
Who's going to be
the
one who writes?
Find another one.
Who's going to write the JT Omega / TJ Omega fanfiction?
Oh, yes!
No!
Yes!
The crossover Shattered Glass / fiction, yes. That's what
oh,
we need.
Dear God.
Man, what's wrong with you guys tonight?
I blame the gelato.
Okay, now. 6 showers before bed.
That's the name of my fan fiction.
Oh, dear God, it gets better.
Vangelis presents 6 showers before bed, a torrid story.
Something.
I'm shutting up now. Going to the corner and never leaving.
So I hope BotCon appreciates our continued coverage of their material.
Actually, right now I don't think they would.
No, I think Pete's going to punch me in the face later on. Hey, you guys want to do some new pick picks?
Absolutely.
Sure. Some new pick slash.
Stop that.
But it's so much fun.
Never gets old. Lupus, you totally are super duper prepared today.
Am I?
Well, you sent me a link. I assumed.
Oh yeah. Well, can I do 2 then?
Okay, do 2. Just... You got it. You got it on the recording. React to the one you sent me.
Okay, the first one is going to be Aprim's Pretender Metalhawk, which it looks really awesome. He gave it a NECA style head, like really ultra detailed, on a very large Gundam body.
That's a link you didn't send me yet.
No, I'm sending it to you guys now. he managed to use one of the extra limbs from the Energon aerial bots, and made that into the core robot, which ended up going into the back of the Pretender shell.
You know, that's actually a really good idea for a core robot, because those little, like, you know, a lot of people come down on that set, but those were some solid single toys.
And using today's technology, they could make some really awesome combinations.
Oh, wow! Okay, yeah, NECA-style head. I didn't know what you meant at first. That is.
But yeah, ultra-detailed. I'm not even sure which NECA figure that might have come off of, or if at all. But, oh my god, it blew me away, honestly. I thought it was really, really awesome.
That is a super cool idea, because, well, I mean, when I said, you know, when you talk about the Superion limbs, this is the better limb toy, for sure. So I assumed you meant this one, because I like this toy a lot.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. Is there a shot of it plugged into him?
There should be one where it's shown in the back. You can't even tell that he's there.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's cool.
Like, the only indication you have is, like, a back flap of the nose cone. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just so seamlessly attached into the armor. It looks awesome.
I think if I had one critique, it would be that Metal Hawk should never take his helmet off.
I agree.
Because without the helmet on, the illusion seems a little bit lost. With the helmet on, it works. With the helmet off, it really exposes how tiny his head is compared to the rest of his body.
Yeah.
So, Metal Hawk, I like this with the helmet on. Don't take it off.
Ever.
No.
Wait, are there two different heads he's using? That might be it, too.
He says head one, head two, but he has the helmet separate on the arm, so...
Well, the
I think
one
that
where,
was just picture one, picture two, the, not...
The one where the helmet's off looks like it's head two, because I think head one is a different expression and looks a lot better.
Yeah, because helmet off looks like the mouth is open a little bit.
And looking to
helmet
the side.
On,
yeah.
Yeah, the, helmet the, on, he's got like a stern, closed, like pursing lips almost.
Yeah, I like that way better. Helmet on and head one, please. That's where I would be coming on this one. That's super cool. So you were talking about this, and I was like, are you in such denial that you're now telling me this is supposed to be Metal Hawk by somebody else?
No.
On the second one.
So Sabrina, I can't Ing. Pronounce that. Ing?
Yeah.
I apologize profusely, but Sabrina, I'm calling you out. You're just trolling me at this point. A masterpiece, shiny Hank A. Wild Rider.
Yep.
With trailer.
Masterpiece Rodimus, repainted into Gente Wild Rider, complete with the shiny treatment.
And airbrushed flames and just...
Guess what you're never going to have.
Make it stop. Please. But my hat does go off to you, Sabrina. This is amazing work. Even the dull rust red shiny spoiler just... This is awesome. I wish there were some bot mode pictures, but in vehicle mode, it is supremely just heart wrenching. So many different levels.
As I understand it, Sabrina tends towards the glossier car painted look. Which, speaking as someone who prefers a matte finish, I do feel matte finishes are kind of dime a dozen with customized Transformers. It seems to be where a lot of people go. So I think that's one reason why her stuff tends to stick out a little bit. Is it's like it's not just gloss; it's like hyper gloss.
Yeah, that's reflective.
It's like car wax gloss, and I dig that. That is totally a legitimate aesthetic. I like matte myself because matte is very untoy, but this is like gloss to the point of not looking toy either. So I dig that.
I saw it and just was. My jaw dropped. It was amazingly
honestly. That's
awesome.
That spoiler, like that alone, is cool enough. I think it looks like you could chew on it, and it would taste like cherries.
Cherries and death.
Yes. You know what I love chewing on is gloss paint. It tastes awesome.
This explains so much.
Hey guys, you want to chew? You want to eat some paint chips? Helps you think.
So you hadn't figured that out a long time ago, what our issue is here?
It's all you guys. You're all weird.
I thought it was the electrical wires.
You guys are super weird. Hey, Omegas, what's your new pick?
Well, gee. Do I go with something sensible, or do I go the Radicon route as well?
Radicon route is always more interesting.
Yeah, but it's Aprim again.
You don't want to pump the guy up too much. I hope it's a guy. I suddenly realized. Go for it. Why not?
All right. Just revealed this week another pretender. It was his Skullgrin.
You need to link me when you say Skullgrin, because that really does pique my interest.
Yeah, let me...
Sure.
Yeah.
I like pretenders. Well, going by what's written in his Metal Hawk topic, it seems he's on a bit of a pretender kick. And I am cool with that because I like pretenders too. I grew up on a lot of pretenders. And,
Pretender!
They have lots of customizing open ability. Although, you know, like also last year was the year of the pretender. Lots of cool Pretender toys out last year.
Oh, this he made the Skullgrin. Oh, dear, it is incredible. Like, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, this one blew my mind.
Fabulous. I really like the texture on that.
Well,
That looks like a Toy Biz body.
The body is the Marvel Select Abomination.
Toy Biz-ish, then.
Toy Biz-ish.
The grain on it reminds me a lot of the better Toy Biz Marvel Legends paint jobs, to a degree. I mean, obviously much better than the mass-produced ones. But.
Oh, yeah. And he picked such a really good mold for the Pretender robot, too, that, you know, War for Cybertron Megatron, even, like, converting it to look more like the Pretender.
Yeah, the head's great. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, the head's great. Yeah, the head is awesome, too.
I really like where he's going, too, with having the Pretenders turn into backpacks, because one might at first glance say, like, that's kind of a cop-out way to have them plug onto a body without having to cut it open. But at the same time, he's figured out how to aesthetically make them fit in pretty well as armor. Like, again, I was looking at this going, like, so where does it fit in? And I was like, all right, treads on his shoulders. That's the toy.
Yeah, just all around. It just absolutely shocks me that he could think of this in the first place.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I mean, I would take the inner robot alone as an awesome custom, let alone the body.
Yeah, it's very well done. Good color palette too. Very on topic.
So this is Aprim week here on the podcast.
Good lord. We got to get who's the dude from Games Workshop? Someone's got to pick one of his things now. You know, until you did the mind wipe.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Saw the mind wipe.
Oh, this is embarrassing. He used to be on a part of the heavy metal team. I want to see some of his stuff now. I love heavy metal. Aaron, what's your new pick?
I'm gonna break the Aprim train here.
Get out
and go for the animated Elite Guard Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's finally out. I forgot that was coming out.
And like for $120, you too can have one. That's pretty much animated Prime, but black instead of blue and stripes on the shoulders.
Yeah, I'm a little bit on the fence about that color scheme, actually. I thought it was cool, but having seen the in-hand ones, I'm kind of like, there's parts of it I really like, and there's parts of it I don't really like, and it makes me feel better about skipping him. I think one of the parts I really actually don't like is his gold face. I don't know why.
Gold face? It's silver, isn't it?
When the faceplate's down, it's gold.
Yellow for me.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, wow. Okay, I hadn't seen a good face shot until right now.
Yeah.
And, ew.
Yeah, I think that really the one thing that I'm also disappointed in is the placement of the Elite Guard symbol.
Cause like, it's a pasty.
Well, on the Legends one, it's right across his entire chest, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like it uses his chest windows as wings, and I think that's amazing, and I really think they should have gone for that on this. Like, paint in the windows, untranslucent them, paint the wings over them, and put the Autobot symbol in the middle. Like, that would have looked awesome.
Well, I think the problem, though, if you did that, then you wouldn't have light piping or a light bar. It's all one.
Well, no. Mold it in that clear plastic still, but then just put a paint app over the chest windows. Leave all the rest of it. And I think that would have looked way better. That would have been more expensive, but this is a limited edition thing. Yeah. So,
well, plus then you'd be able to take the stripes across the whole cab. Yeah. Since you'd have the stripes and on the shoulder, you could make it like, he's not fine, Elite Guard.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
like
all
like,
the way. Yeah.
This one feels it's primarily in the chest, I think, where it feels a little bit like, you know, you guys could have pushed this a lot farther.
Yeah.
That kind of paint app would have probably pushed this guy's price up at least $20 as well. But when you're already going to be paying this much for him in the first place, you know, go whole hawk.
Yeah.
And go crazy with it. I mean, the stripes are cool.
What is this, an exclusive to or limited to?
Million Publishing. It was exclusive to a book, I believe.
Oh, okay.
You had to get a book and then send in a coupon for it. Yeah, I mean, it's. I like the color scheme on the outset, but I think actually the Legend does it better.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's primarily in that chest. The gold face, honestly, given that you can put his faceplate up, that doesn't bother me that much. But just when I saw that dinky little tampoed on Elite Guard symbol crookedly on the side of his pectoral, I was like, that's really it. Like,
well, yeah, because all the other Elite Guard members have had it old and center.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, maybe there's you know, all kinds of referential reasons to put it like that, and I can understand it, but aesthetically, especially when you have that comparison picture of him standing right next to the Legends version, it's just like, you know, well, plus, given the shape of the windows and how the Legends kind of used that, it's like, that would have been so much cooler. That would have made me want to go drop the triple digits eventually.
Yeah, well, plus the Legends version makes it look, with the way the color scheme is, less like an Earth vehicle, even.
Yeah, because that does cover up the windshields.
Yeah.
And so you get kind of have that War for Cybertron effect of...
Yeah. Because if they're not on Earth, what do they need a space for a meat bag to sit in?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, then there's that whole debate again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because otherwise, like, I love the slate gray black that they use on him. And I love how it looks in conjunction with the silver and then having all the gold on top. It looks cool because it looks like he's wearing a uniform jacket to a degree.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, like, the chest just looks too much like, I don't know. It looks out of place, kind of.
I really did. This is one more for Derek's wall of Prime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is one where I would have actually liked to hear. I don't know what his opinion on it is. I want to know if he's digging that chest, or if would I be getting in a nice fist fight with him now over this chest? My question.
All we get out of him for his opinion is just a shrill scream.
You know, Repro labels could even do something with this, because it's just like, I'm looking at the Legend again. They even take into account the kind of L shape of those windows. What if Repro labels just did up stickers that fit into the window cavities and then another sticker to put in the middle?
Yeah,
that would be. I mean, you know, it would be.
I don't think Repro labels are going to do that, because it's a one off thing that three people would really like to have to put on top of their $120.
Well, I mean. You
super
could,
hard to come by.
You could do it up and then also do up the stripes and some of the gold detailing and be like, hey, use this and then some black paint to customize your existing Optimus Prime into an Elite Guard guy. Like, that could be kind of cool. I just think, like, if they took a cheapo, you know, Voyager Prime and then at least fit the stickers for that, it'd be cool to see what it would look like.
Yeah.
I'd really like to know how that would turn out, just for my own satisfaction, because I think that would be way cooler.
Well, you should buy one of these. Have... stickers custom made and tell us how it goes.
Listeners, go to work. But yeah, it's a cool design, but falls short in just a couple little places for me. Oh well. Oh crap, am I supposed to have a new pick now?
Yeah. I think we've burnt through everything that's not a spoiler.
Give me a second.
There's an obvious one. There's an obvious one.
You're not talking about the sword, are you?
No. Not really.
Iron Man?
No.
What are you talking? What's obvious?
Because it's not that obvious.
Spoilers, what was obvious?
There's a new pictorial review for Warpath you could bring up.
Oh, HKTF. Well, I mean,
yeah, but they haven't we seen like three of them already?
Yeah, we know that Warpath is pretty damn cool.
Okay, then find something.
In case anyone out there doesn't know,
Mr. Host, find something.
Generations Warpath is going to be pretty cool as a toy. I actually just saw something a second ago that caught my eye. Because I mean, I could also go. Oh yeah, there was the Art of High Moon exhibition showcased some more for Cybertron. Concept art, but I could bring up that sword. Hey, you guys know about a group called Crazy Devi? You know the thing they like to do where they sell you pieces of toys to upgrade your toys?
Break your other toys?
So they're doing my favorite G1 combiner. They're doing a Menasor thing, and the first thing they're doing is giving him a giant sword. To which I would really like to see an in-hand picture of this, because my big problem with their last giant sword they did was it was too giant. And this one... is going to be 13.1 centimeters. It's not going to be as stupidly big as the Predaking one, but looking at the picture, it looks like it might once again be riding that line of, like, you know, there's this fine balance between it's awesome because it's big and it looks dumb because it's big, and I don't know if they've found that balance yet.
Yeah, I think it looks dumb because it's big, unless we're getting some bad force perspective in their demo pick.
Yeah, On the bright side, the sword is
chrome plated.
Also, it's $13.95, which is a lot cheaper than what their stuff usually tends to cost, which kind of caught my eye. But at this point,
well, if it's just a chrome plated piece of plastic, they're still making money.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. But how, like the Predaking sword, I'd swear was $20, if not more. I can't remember now. Research. But this once again plays into my whole thing of I love Menasor, but I would be way more interested in this if they were like, hey, for $60, here's a big box of stuff to make your whole Menasor look cooler, not these real life microtransactions.
Yeah.
The microtransaction thing is not going to keep working. It's
just, can't really be considered a microtransaction, though, can it?
It's, well, conceptually a microtransaction.
Yeah, compared to where third-party stuff normally goes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that is part of the draw, which is like, I want a third-party thing. Crazy Devi's thing is only $14. But, you know, then you add it all up. You're like, I spent $14 eight times. And then you realize how much it costs. I don't know. They really got it. Like I said before, maybe even if it was just like the sword and the hands, or like the legs and the pelvis, like mix in the parts, bundle
things. Yeah. Form the head.
Voltron! But Crazy Devi is still doing that Crazy Devi thing, so we'll see how long they continue doing that, because if it's working, then they're going to keep doing it. So I can only whine so much. I would like to talk about what we got this week, because we got some topics to talk about with the Dark of the Moon video game, but I decided maybe I'll bump those to the end just in case people don't want to hear about that stuff, because they are at the point now where the video game is dropping some spoiler material. If you haven't listened to it, by the way, you should check out Supplemental 31, because Seth Buzzard went to the GDC and gave us a whole bunch of good discussion and some audio straight from there. So if you have any interest in this stuff, you should listen to that. Also, if you want to hear about Stealth Force Engage. But let's talk about what we got this week. I'm curious. My interest is piqued by your possessions. Who should we start with? Who got the most?
I could probably put myself on that list.
You know the answer to that.
Someone get a lot of medals or something?
All right, let's do Aaron. So, Aaron, what'd you get this week?
All right. Quit messing with this guy here. So I'll start out with the off-topic stuff. Japanese Bugman stuff. I got a Taka Candroid. Hey! There are these neat little can-looking things that transform. This one turns into a bird. Pretty simple transformation.
Can you confirm to me your thoughts on them? Because I've been asked about them by Transformers folks, and my kind of capsule on the Candroids is a bunch of them. Yeah, see what I did there? A bunch of them are pretty cool, but they are all inherently about $5 too expensive to recommend to anybody who's not invested in the show.
Yes. If you're just looking for a transforming thing at approximately $20 by the time you get it in the U.S., it's a little bit pricey. $20 is a Voyager toy. This, I would say, has all the appeal of a good basic to a so-so deluxe.
Yeah.
especially for the fact that it's not like it's articulated. It's a bird that you can kind of flap his wings, because that's how the can thing transforms. Mm-hmm. See here, it flap. Nice, kind of solid joints. Yeah, for what these would probably retail in the U.S., if it was a U.S. toy, yeah, it'd be worth it, but not for import prices.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I have two more on order, so...
Well, that's the thing, is I always tell people, like, these are totally overpriced, and I also have all of them!
Yeah, I have the Electric Eel and Gorilla ones on the way.
Those are the best, too.
The eel is nice.
So those are by far the best two Candroids to be released to date.
Yes.
Actually, I have... including Taka, those are the three best Candroids released to date. So you've got the best ones.
And then I also got the O's belt, the Henshin thing.
Welcome to the train!
With all the Wait, fun sound effects. I guess there's a coin for it, but... This one comes, so the theme of the dit thing is head, arms, and legs. We've talked about a little bit before. The belt comes with four medals, and there are other three packs that let you do more combinations so you can get more special sounds out of it. And I find it really neat because it's all driven by radio frequency ID, RFID chips that are in these little metal things. And apparently those are having a production failure of something like one out of three as they make them. So I
didn't know about that. And that explains the mass O's toy shortage.
Yeah. So all of these sound making metal things are supposedly super hard to find, and since I don't stalk websites looking for them, I'm not getting stuff unless I wanted to go to eBay and pay $60 for a $10 thing out of Japan.
And it's not worth it. It's not worth $60 ever.
But what boggles my mind is that all of those things, whereas with the Kamen Rider Double stuff, all of the logic and thinking were in the Gaia memory, so you could do whatever you wanted. Because you just make another stick thing. Mm-hmm. Well, all of that logic is sitting inside of the scanner deal that makes all the noise. So the engineer in me just went, oh, that's really cool. And I showed it to a couple of friends. They're like, oh, it's just, I said, no, look, it's RFID chips. And I was showing it to them and they're like, so that's not on the chip. That's on that, because there's a way that you can, if you scan two of the metals, then you can kind of work that. Yeah. You can futz the signal a little bit and get a third thing out of it. That's not either one of those metals. And I showed that to one of my electrical engineering friends, just to keep going to finish the story. I showed that to one of my electrical engineering friends, and he's like, would you mind if I took all that apart? What? He goes, I want to see the guts of that.
That's what a lot of guys in Japan have done. Because they sorted out that basically what I was saying is these metals are basically outputting, like, I think a 6-digit code.
Okay, I could see that.
And basically, the way that people have figured out all the sounds that the scanner makes is they cut it open and hooked it into a number entry system, like a calculator. And so they would just enter the numbers, push a button to send the number into the scanner, and then get the result. So it's basically these coins are giving off certain combinations of numbers. So when you hold the coins next to each other, those number combinations kind of mingle. The binary addition happens, yeah. And then that's why it tends to be like, if you're holding for instance, the one I have that goes, it says panda. If you hold that one with other stuff, the panda one is a turquoise thing. And when I hold it with other things, I get other turquoise things. I think because the turquoise code in the digits sent, carries over.
Cause that's what I've seen with the glitching that I've done is the green, the bata, the grasshopper with another one will make the green head. So it was like you hold the head and the green one, and it sends green head is what it reads. And so it's the coin that I don't have because these things are so hard to find. That
now, sometimes I think that, but then other times I will try to glitch it with a cell metal and a core metal, and I will get both other cell metals. I will get core metals that aren't even out yet, and then once in a while I will get like a giga scan.
Well, that's the thing there's actually this coding stuff goes far deeper, I think, than many people expect, because if you test out these things, there are other pieces in the binary number that mean things. Like basically these metals are sold in three different routes. There's the ones that are the quote unquote DX, then there's the capsule machine ones, and then there are the candy toy ones. Those all actually have different codes. When you scan them, they like this, if you scan the gorilla metal for all three of them, it'll say gorilla and do all that stuff. But internally, it also says this is gorilla candy. This is gorilla DX. And that's why you can't scan the same metal three times in the same scanning thing. But if you line up three different versions of a metal, you can get stuff like Tora, Tora, Tora. And then
you start an invasion.
Exactly. And so with the cell ones, I'm sure there's like something, because they even cause a different clank noise when they get scanned. So there's like the sheer amount of depth to this extremely simple gimmick is actually kind of neat when you start peeling it open. It's a very thick onion.
Yeah, I can actually do it right here since I have the Taka cell metal that comes with the Candroid here. One sounds like this.
Yeah, clink.
The other sounds like...
And a clonk. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like it's a good sound and then a sound.
But it's like, oh, you're putting the cheap one in. Don't do that.
don't do that. But no, I'm. So I was to finish that bit of story. Saturday wasn't feeling well, so missed out on a recording. But found out that CS Toys was going to be putting some of these medals live, and
from
so
me.
I yes, from you, thank you. And so I drug myself to the laptop, all hopped up on NyQuil, and was there refreshed right as they put everything in stock, and I went add to cart, check out. And then I stumbled because I was new on NyQuil and hadn't done a practice run on their checkout sequence. And so I was like, oh, crap, I got to put my login again because I thought I had. And I went, oh, I'll log in first. And I'm thinking. And in the process of doing that, so I log in and it goes, boop, error, one of the items in your cart is sold out. I'm like, oh, no. So I go and I remove one of them from the cart. Okay, login, boop, one of the items in your cart is sold out. I'm like, no, I took that. Oh, it's another one. Crap. I get rid of that one. Burp. One of the items in your cart is sold out. I'm like, oh, no. So, okay, yeah. Get rid of that one, and I'll check. I only had three things in my cart. I removed three. Son of a...
Yeah. I felt like when I told you about it, there were about 60 seconds till they went live, so I neglected to also warn you that, like, oh, by the way, this may go badly.
I should have just bitten on one and cut my losses, but I was trying to get greedy. And, like I said, wasn't thinking due to excess amounts of NyQuil. That the recommendations on the bottle are just like a idea, right? Not a maximum.
Precisely.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, I was loopy because I figured, hey, if I'm missing a podcast, I'm getting something out of it.
But, I'm gonna get nigh high. I'm gonna get some high quill in me.
Yeah. So the other off topic-y thing was went to Toys R Us and found a Swordfish sword for my Power Rangers Samurai Zord that they lamed out the Japanese version. The Swordfish mouth opens up and you can jam his sword in there. And the American version, you just kind of pull the Swordfish's nose out a little bit and make it a little bit taller.
Oh,
yeah. But, again, they packed in a little non-posable Ranger and there are pegs on the back of the Swordfish to put the Ranger on so that he's riding this sword.
That's apparently, actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's just because they have them. I think they sell them as or under the same kind of SKU as they did before of like the ride toys or something or other. I forget exactly what it was, but it wasn't like auxiliary Zord. Like it does something. It's an individual toy that a Ranger can ride. And oh, yeah, by the way, if you have this other thing, it combines too, rather than this combines onto that one.
Yeah, so they're trying to make it so there's a reason to buy it on its own if you're a kid who doesn't have the big, the mega Zort.
Right.
You want to plug it into. I just said Zort.
I guess I can kind of understand it in that maybe there's different markets for those toys. Mm-hmm. And Bandai America thinks they know its market. But in comparison to seeing a review for the similar toy in Japan and seeing the American one, I just go, ugh. We got ripped off.
Well, in Japan, but they also had the entire geared, put the disc in the toy gimmick thing as well.
Yeah, and there's none of that in this. And then also, the stupid way that they've packed these, it comes three to a case. I think I said this last time I was talking about these. Three to a case. The first case that they released was two of one and one of another. So now the second way that they release is two of the one that had none before and one of the one that had one before. And none of the other one. So there's no way to guarantee as a person. I mean, you weren't actively hunting for these things, I could see you having a very hard problem. I don't know why Bandai of America didn't do a case of three, one and one and one. That way, if somebody went in and bought all three,
it's strange restock because with those three. Things, there's no real draw to get one over the other. It's you want to just get them because they all stick onto the robot.
Right, if you're getting it for that reason, and then even if you're not, I can maybe understand maybe doing four to a case and dropping an extra Red Ranger in there, because Red Ranger's always the coolest one.
Yeah.
But not, you know, hey, everything shows the three of these, you know, you can't make the combined mode with, I don't know.
Maybe they're trying to revisit the magic of the four shortages of 92 with the very first Power Rangers toys.
Maybe. But as far as Transformers goes, I got a buttload. Like I talked about before, the fun pub club thing put up a bunch of guys, and so I got Strafe, who is obviously an Autobot, even though he's a reveal the shield, what with his giant symbols on his wings.
I saw Strafe yeah. Toys R Us the other day.
Really? So you? I guess you are up in Canada Land.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, he was the only one I saw. The other Voyagers were gone. And so I was like, and I felt bad because a lot of people were like, did you buy Strafe? Because there were a bunch of people who were like, I think I'm the only one who wants Strafe, and I want to know if you got it. And I was like, honestly, I would love to buy Strafe. Just, I don't want to buy him for 30 plus tax. I want to buy him for less than that.
Yeah, that's rough. Also picked up the other Voyager from that wave with Lugnut, and holy crap.
Welcome to the Lugnut train, sir. I'm still United only, but... Isn't it a fabulous toy?
Holy crap. Each wing has six 3mm clip points.
And his shoulders.
Along with one on his tail and then two on the side. So that's 12, 13, shoulders. 14, 15, 16, 17. Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. There's three under the wing, one on the wingtip, and then the two on top of the engine.
Yeah, yeah. I think there might be one on his leg, too, but I can't remember.
There's two on his... on like where the undercarriage is that become his legs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my lug nut's all the way over there. Like just out of arm's reach.
Holy crap. Just further exacerbates the point that they just need to have weapon packs.
Yep.
Cause he could do so well with like just bombs, just something that looks bombish that has a clip in the middle of it.
Big ass bombs with shark faces on the front.
Yeah. That, or even, you know, missile spam packs or anything. But I guess Gog was saying how he had a problem with the spring on his, on one of his arms.
He had a loose one, I think he said.
Yeah, both of mine seem pretty good. One of them's maybe catches a little bit, but I think that's because I have the thumb clipped in really hard to the wingtip now on his alt mode. But it's not like... wobbly.
When I look at the mechanism, because my United one, both of them work, but they are also almost hair triggers, and I can see how it would be easy for one of these guys to get a somewhat faulty lock.
Yeah.
Because it is a pretty, it's not a click lock. It is a click lock, but it's a very light click lock.
Yeah.
So it would not be insane to me for there to be some out there where the click lock is not quite tight as it could be.
Yeah. But even just for the detailing, when you do pop out his wings, if you do it in his alt mode, it looks like he has additional little missile packs on the inside.
Oh, hey, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're molded in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's even more.
I went and reached for my lug nut.
Yeah. Awesome toy if you get the chance to buy a lug nut, buy two.
So, let me, there are going to be people who find problems with him. I do have a small problem with him, so I'll repeat it because it's been said before. His arm articulation is good, but it is a little bit more limited than you may be used to. However, it's also made out of wings, so...
Yeah. For the way that it's built, understandable that it's not awesome articulation on the arms. Yeah. The one issue that I've kind of had in his tail collapse method, it feels like I have to push sometimes a little bit too hard to get everything.
There's a multi-layered system to it. I don't remember if we talked about it in the recording last time or not, but like there's an inner tab on the United one. It's purple. I think Gog said on that one, it's silver. There's like an inner sliding tab that, can actually tell kind of like whether or not the chest piece is in place. And I've had some times where I had trouble pushing the tail in, and all I had to do was kind of like transform some more stuff to get things out of the way.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of, you gotta, because right now I'm having a hard time lining everything up because it wants to not push, so I'll have to fidget more, but I want to keep focused on this
fabulous toy
we're doing. Yeah, great toy. You can tell that somebody put just a ton of love into Lugnut here, and I'm glad that he got this release, and it's another one of those great cases where it seems like, you know, these animated things are becoming not like, oh, it's animated, but it's, hey, no, this is a dude in the Transformers world that is always, you know, maybe not every line is going to have a toy, but just about every line is going to have some acknowledgement because he's an awesome character.
Yeah.
and the light pipe mouth, kind of, I think.
Yeah, the light piping piece, I think, is connected to the mouth innards. Yeah.
I just don't have strong enough of a light here to do a lot of that. But so moving on, also got the Power Core Combiner 2-packs.
I was going to ask you if you got Grapple with those guys.
Skyhammer and Heavy Tread.
How are they? Because I want them to show up here, and they haven't shown up yet.
Chock full of awesome.
I love Heavy Tread.
It's how the commanders should have been done in the first place, I think. Because it's nothing overly complex getting them from robot to like the commander mode, where some of those 2-packs and even some of the 5-pack commanders have just been almost tortuous of this piece has to go here, that piece has to go there, this thing has to slide over that thing to get them fit into this thing to get the arm piece to lock in the right way. And then it's, by the time you've gone through all that, it's like, what was I doing this for?
I agree with you incredibly due to something I picked up. I'll remind me to segue back to this when I get to what I got this week, because I think there's a very interesting discussion to be had about Power Core now that it's over.
But, and on top of that, Heavy Tread is not Heavy Tread. Heavy Tread is Guzzle without yellow. He's a little tank dude that ends up with like track around the fist and a gun over his back. Square blocky head. Granted, it's not the flat head, but
the combined mode head looks so gorgeous.
Yes. And it actually looks funny doing Heavy Tread with a combined mode head up. It looks like something very chibi. Or just like, I'm gonna kick you. But no, he's become a guzzle in my book. just because what do they always say? You know, what you call it on your shelves is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have myself a guzzle now to make Last Stand feel that much better. Also picked up the 5-packs that they had, Grimstone and Steamhammer. I really like the dinos. Grimstone and Steamhammer both are also pretty good commanders by themselves. Just good modes all three ways. Grimstone, I've had a little bit of issue because his arms and shoulders all kind of become the dino head and back, and I've had a little bit of alignment issues one or two times I've transformed it.
Yeah.
Just it doesn't look quite right because things are splitting down the middle. Steamhammer, I've played a little bit with, but I've liked his drones more because of the way that they do their thing. And then Overrun or Spastic.
Hey,
my box says Spastic.
That's because you modified it.
I did no such thing. I actually removed the modifications that were made to the box.
Which, first of all,
makes me feel really sorry for all the factory workers that had to sit there and apply the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stickers or so.
I would argue that modifying the factory-made modification counts as a modification on your end.
It's a demodification. It's going back to stock.
Demodification?
It's taking it back to stock.
All he's doing is uncensoring.
Yes. You fool world with censorship.
I don't think I've ever heard the term demodification be used in that way before. That's original.
But I actually haven't opened Spastic up for some nostalgic reason of maybe in 20 years it'll be worth a whole lot.
It'll be worth more if you left the sticker on, is the thing.
You think everybody's going to be peeling the stickers?
Yes. Everyone said.
I left one on the back to be like, no, look, it was really Overrun.
Well, everyone has said, I'm going to get that toy and peel the stickers off. And Seth made a very good point a few weeks ago, which is that because of that, it's the stickered ones that are going to become rare. So if you're going to buy yourself, you know, an Overrun, you'll want to buy three. You want to buy one to open, one to keep pristine, and one to demodify back into Spastic.
But that is the one thing that I may open it up just to look at, is to see the instructions if that sheet says Spastic or Overrun, if they caught that late enough in the process. But I bet if they had it packaged...
Yeah, it probably wasn't.
And they're like, oh, screw the instructions.
Who reads these anyway?
Yeah. I have an Undertow on the way, or it may already have been delivered.
Oh, I forgot about Undertow.
They were sold out at the club store when I did my order up, as was Grapple.
Oh.
And then just last night, And much to Gog's chagrin, now his spicy sausage fueled anger is what was it, the Tijuana Mamas? Pickled sausage.
If I recall correctly.
Was at a Toys R Us working out of town and stopped in there. Well, stopped into the McDonald's that was next door first to get lunch or dinner for the 2-hour drive home. And thought, hey, I'll duck in here, and found a cup and scourge.
God damn.
And cup is very cuppy and scourge is very scourgy.
The best capsule reviews I've ever heard for those toys.
I like just some of the touches that the fact that the end of Cup's barrel also becomes an exhaust pipe. The way that you tuck it in his leg when he's transformed. Both of them are pretty clean transformations. I think Scourge's shoulders are a little bit overdone because you kind of have to pull pieces out, flip them around, and push them back in. But I can see where that's going to be good for any eventual repaint. A la Senator Ratbat or whatever he's going to end up becoming, that you could get variation by not doing some of that flip stuff.
That's what I like about some other Transformers too, like even Generations Blur, because of the way that those shoulder pauldrons work. Yeah. You can kind of mess with them to make them look different than Drift's.
Well, that and then I guess what they've done with what Hasbro's forced into with Wheeljack.
Well, he has different. He has that. Entirely different shins to augment it.
He has different shins to completely change that. So.
It's kind of like that's the Sunstreaker sideswipe thing, but taken to another level up, where it's like we're going to actually remodel some of the body to even better mirror this this idea.
But I like the fact that it's an electro musket, keeping it with the fact that he's the oldest guy out there. He has a very good weathered face sculpt, where there's a lot of deep lines in it, and it looks like he's yelling something. I don't know if I'm going to go for the Saigar. Aftermarket parts, but
I'm very on the fence with those because I think that they look cool and I really appreciate that they're not that expensive. But again, there's something like how Gog said, it's more so like if I see it at a show,
I
can pick it up off a table, I'll be way more enticed.
If I can pick it up off a table for $5-$10, I might do that. I'm not gonna go to lengths of ordering it. Scourge, I like the fact that his two guns combine into his Target Master. Basically, and the fact that he also has a 3mm clip on the top of his head, so you can put crazy things on his head or under his wings, because he has kind of hidden ports on his underside. You can't get to in robot mode, but I don't know. I think he's another one of those that so many people have gotten him already, kind of with the very slow way that they worked their way out, that at this point, I'm going, like this review said and like that review said, but.
Well, it's all about, aggregating thoughts together and pulling out what you think, best.
I wish his back kind of clipped together a little bit better than how it actually does. But beyond that, he's standard figure.
You think you're going to troop build him?
Depends on what the repaint looks like. I might go for.
I've decided to go. Yeah. I think I'm going to go down this path. I'm going to get me two domestic Scourges and then have them be two sweeps for a United Scourge. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go for United toys. I may go for two of the whatever repaint if they look similar enough to be the troop built guys. But I'm not going to go for importing on.
I just wanted to go for a United Scourge, and this is a really dumb reason, but because they finished the stripe on the front of the vehicle mode, somehow that alone made me go like, that somehow is so much better, I need it.
And makes it 11 billion times better.
Makes it a $30 toy, right there.
See, obviously. Hasbro, that's how you do it. Put a little extra paint on there. Buy 8 of them.
They said peanut for a second, I was really confused.
But yeah, that's the long and short of it. I have more Bugmans on order. Damn you, Vangelis.
Count the medals: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 16 in some people's cases.
Yeah.
I wish I could get one. Let's move up the track here to Lupus Convoy.
Oh my god, I'm on?
Lupus Fireboy, I choose.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I can't say because Aaron's already covered everything for Scourge and Cup. Fucking bastard.
What do you have?
You could have chimed in talking about yours.
I had to hold off.
I know better than to try to chime in. That was the first 12 episodes.
I had to hold off on all my power core talk, so don't worry about it. Just, you know, do some personal iterations if they are.
Okay, I have to say something about Cup's gun. While it's great that it's a musket, it kind of makes me go, well, that's kind of plain. What good is he in combat? That's kind of, you know, one fire, 20 minutes later of reloading. Okay, I'm ready to go again.
Come on, a good musketman could get off a shot every 45 seconds.
Yes, but this guy's how old?
They weren't using laser charges.
I'd like to think that a laser musket still loads exactly like an earth musket, even though it uses lasers.
It takes forever. He's got to sit there and charge the batteries and, you know, wind the crank.
You got to get out at your mill. You got to grind the crystal for the laser. Then you got to pack it down.
You know how dangerous it is to pack in a plasma bolt?
Dude.
That's why the good musketeer, I'm trying to remember the name, you do a lot of that prep stuff beforehand. Then you just end up with a slug that you throw down the barrel.
And you know what? That's why he's still the only guy that's still kicking around. Everyone else, their muskets didn't fire right. And
that's why you got Transformers with no hands.
That's what happened with Shockwave.
Damn laser musket!
Okay, so other than that, I didn't manage to get Masterpiece Rodimus, which was kind of a surprise. And he's still in the box, and he's not... He's going on the list. That's pretty much where he's going. I think I might have just given Proto Man a heart attack by saying that. But what else? Okay, so one thing that you guys, I don't think, have covered yet is I got the first Crossfire in today, the Aerial Appendage Kit.
Ooh, was that off the restocks that happened?
It was.
Sweet, I'm curious about that.
Sold out within like a few hours.
Yeah, that blew my mind because I think it's a cool set, but I also think it got trounced by Crossfire too. So I wasn't sure if people were still going to be jumping on that.
It's if you're looking at it from a retrospective, it's really awesome. But,
yeah,
that was my thoughts when we got it later.
Like I was spoiled by Crossfire 2 AM2B, so I'm expecting good high quality stuff. I open it up and for what it is, it's pretty awesome. It's got the if you were lucky enough to get the Cliff Jumper kit, it's very much in that type of vein. Same feel to the plastic, and it doesn't feel quite as integral as Crossfire 2.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it is. It's a year before Crossfire 2, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
At least.
I will note that one of the little pieces is the visor add-on, and it comes with two of them. And it's labeled as one for Superlink and one for the U.S. release.
Yep.
Or Universe release. But you really can't tell the difference based on the image, because one just looks slightly bluer and one's kind of purple.
It also, I think, has to do with the color of the nose.
Mm.
Because that visor, the one thing about that Superlink and Revenge of the Fallen and blah, 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 Superion is he has a flat face. So what the visor adds, aside from adding a visor, it also gives him a nose.
Which is great, because the poor guy looks like somebody just lobbed it off.
He looks so much better with a nose.
Like, he does!
So much better.
And the visor.
Yeah, like even if the visor wasn't there, that part I thought was cool, but when I didn't know about the nose till I actually put it on myself, and when I saw that, because I was also going, like, what's the difference between these? And I was like, oh, wait, this little piece down here is colored different. I stick it on, I'm like, dude, it's his nose!
The one thing that really did blow me away was the radar dish. It looks like just this really funky circle, right? And it separates into four different pieces. And I'm thinking, well, what good's this? They're little add-ons for the wings and robot mode. And then I'm looking at the instructions, which is, they're printed in the box case itself, like in the tray.
Mm-hmm.
So I flipped the tray over and I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. And then I see, okay, the circle splits into four pieces, and it's got these little half of a hydraulic set. And I'm like, well, what's up with that? You look at the feet, and the other half of the hydraulic set's in there, and it's a beautiful touch on these guys. Like, the engineering that went into this of taking the radar dish, putting it in as side stabilizers for the feet, and giving it more bulk for the feet, which makes up for the issue of the little pontoon boats from the original release of the figures. I can see, upon getting this kit, I can see the arc of their engineering development, like way back with the cliff jumper kit, and then, you know, all the other add-ons and where they're going to go. It's amazing to see from a retrospective, and I'm really glad that I got this so that, you know, the collector in me is like, yeah, I'm only missing two or three more sets from Vanth Project.
Yeah, that's a very good point you made. That's how I felt about it, too, when I finally got it. I was like, you know, they've outdone this set, but when I think about when this came out, like, what, right after City Commander, when they were kind of hovering on a whole bunch of little add-on ideas. And so you look at it and you're like, if you dig third-party stuff, it is pretty interesting because you see like stuff like that hydraulics thing and integrating all the parts onto the vehicle modes when they're not combined also. I remember when that struck me as amazing when I was at TFCon and I was like, so can you like do these things plug onto the jets? He's like, yep, take a look. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, that's pretty cool. I was just trying to remember something else about it I really liked. I was going to tell you this. Did you notice that in the plastic tray, there were a bunch of open plastic pockets in the tray?
Up at the top, and yeah. I have no clue what that was for.
Do you know what you can do with those? If you take all the Energon stars and all the Energon weapon pieces that turn into weapons and feet and fists, you can stick
them.
They
just fit in there?
They all fit in there.
That's awesome, because I was wondering what to do with all of them. I'm like, I can put the little pontoons as weapons on the side of the legs, but...
I am really sure.
Robot fingers?
I'm really sure it's intentional too, because at first I was like, "What am I going to do with all this stuff?" And I was like, "Well, there's space up here in this packet. Let's put it in here." And then I started putting it all in. I was like, "This all perfectly fits in here." I was like, "This had to have been intentional."
Oh, with these guys, you know they're thinking about things like that. So it was a question for me of, okay, where are they thinking these are supposed to go?
Yeah,
It's nice to know that was designed to have. A location for it.
It almost makes me want to like have them release a plastic tray to put the jets into as well, so you can like put them in a plastic tray and then slip case them in with the appendage pieces plastic tray.
That would be awesome. With it.
Yeah, I mean that's a very silly thing to say, and I'm totally like that is the most like pandering thing I could ever think of. Like I want to pay $5 to $10 for a tray so that I can better put my Transformers in a box, but. I mean, it's half the work's done. I don't know.
That was like the one thing that really blew me away this week. What really blew me away, it's not Pokemon White, which, you know, that's great in its own. But I got my letter of acceptance for my nursing program. Woo! So I am...
Wow, great. Nice.
That's huge to me. There was 600 students, and they took in 28 of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
So... Yay, I can be a doctor nurse now.
Yay. Excellent.
So that add one more medical professional for TFW.
One more person to go. No, go to a real doctor. Don't tell me how your foot's about ready to fall off on an internet message board.
Are you coming?
Don't tweet about it.
Are you coming after Gerotimus there, Aaron? Is this a
no? I just know I've heard him say these things before, or in his own practice, have you know somebody call. He says the phone calls always go one of two ways. You know, he's a pediatrician, so he deals with kids. You know, my kid has a sniffle. And? Every little kid has a sniffle going on. Or, yeah, his leg's been bleeding for the last 4 hours. Should we take him to the emergency room?
Wait, well, is he still alive?
Yeah.
Well, no, we thought you could fix that, you know?
Yeah, over the phone. No, take him to the emergency room.
Just tell us how to stop the bleeding. I mean, isn't there a pill we can take for this nowadays?
Yeah.
But I would like to request that anybody that sees me at BotCon this year, don't ask me to check out your rash. I really don't want to know. I've heard that from Gerotimus, too.
I got this rash, though. This is totally off topic. My least favorite, it's not a rash, but it reminded me. You know what I really hate? When I inadvertently somehow get a friction burn on part of my body and I don't know how. When I'm like, why does my arm hurt? And I look and there's literally like almost a scabbed friction burn on it. I'm like, what did I rub my arm against that caused that to happen?
It's all that fencing.
Oh, man. Fencing injuries sometimes can be the worst, because sometimes you will get a massive cut on you, like a bruise cut impact, and you won't know, like, that broke the skin, and you won't even realize it happened until a few days later when you're, like, in the shower going, like, why does my leg oh, God!
So you don't go for the cool dueling scars?
We wear facial protection.
Well, how else are you going to pick up chicks, man?
You know, I tell her, hey, you want to check out this awesome scab on my inner thigh?
Wasn't it the big thing in Germany? That's like a bragging?
Not just Germany, in France and Italy as well. To try to
Aren't
get
you
a,
part German? Don't you get, always talk about that?
Try Come to get a vanity scar along your cheekbone.
Come on, you're letting your heritage down. At BotCon, I expect at least one vanity scar.
Is it all right if it's like made in crayon?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Maybe. It has to be really obvious crayon if it's going to be in crayon.
All right. I'm sorry, I don't mean to distract us from this topic, but I just want to call out Lupus. So Pokemon White, huh?
Yes, sir.
You chose your side.
I wanted the little gummy enclosed robot. He just looked cool.
Oh, the gummy enclosed robot. Okay. I see how it is. My hands are in the air. That's all I'm saying.
So I take it you got black?
I didn't get any of them because I don't play Pokemon.
What's wrong with
you?
How
dare you?
I was at Walmart the other day and I saw like the Pokemon Black bundled in with the Pokemon Black lithographed DS system. And I was like, man, this is out now. Everyone's hyped about this game. How much is it? $40. And I was like, I thought I saw someone on Twitter complaining that they couldn't afford it. I was like, at least it's not a 360 or a PS3 game.
Yeah.
Or a Wii.
Or a Wii.
They still make Wii games?
Just a system.
Yeah.
$40 is cheaper than $200.
Or, you know, you could have gone in with friends and taken advantage of the buy one, get one half off it at Toys R Us.
I saw a lot of people talking about how, like, what was it, PR spent had a million tweets going, like, all right, I got both versions of Pokemon. How do I trade with myself?
Oh, boy.
And I was like, I'll trade
another DS and less light. Oh.
I trade with myself every day. Innuendo. Omegas, do you trade with yourself? And what did you get this week?
I don't trade with myself. That just sounds weird.
You trade with myself.
That just
right
might
now.
Be that might just be me.
Self swap.
As usual, I start with my typical Bugman stuff.
Typical.
Still have no luck on the medals. So I went back to my one true love, my Gaia Memories. And I now have
you
these
went
six
back.
New...
You went back. You went from the allegory to human greed to the allegory to human drug addiction.
Essentially, I love how that works. But no, I have the six new ones, including the two that are incredibly hard to get.
I saw. Yeah, you went all on the Shippu and Kirifuda to moonspeak it up a little bit. I was checking out auctions on those. Those never seem to go below around $20 each after everything's said and done.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where I just said, okay, middleman, here's the money. Just don't even tell me how much this is going to take. Just do it.
Just find me one.
It came back with a refund. That's the nice thing about going through the middleman. Usually, like, okay, so I get these four for like $12 altogether, and then, get me these other two. Okay, all they're $30 each. But it all kind of balances out. Strangely enough, my absolute favorite one. I just love having this at the sound of a single button.
I still got to get that one. So one thing that helped me get away from Shippu and Kirifuda is I looked to see what sounds they make, and I was like, they make cool sounds, but they make less than all the other ones.
Yeah, only three, which is weird.
It's like this inverse proportion, because like the complete selection memories only make two. So it's like the more expensive your memory is, the less sounds it makes.
I know.
Because the double ones have, what, like six or eight sounds each, because they do the whole sound effect chain.
But they are neat, and along with them, I got in two of the complete selection Dopant memories, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Two noises each.
I mean, good noises. And I can't think of any other noise for them to make. So it's not like I'm complaining, but...
Yeah. But then, well, the cool thing about them, I love that they're programmed so that they can be either left or right side of the belt.
Oh, that was super cool.
Oh, yeah. One of these doubles your sound combinations alone, which is an awesome touch.
Were you there when CS Toys was demoing them? This runs into a little story that I was noticing.
No. Unfortunately, I missed that one.
I tuned in at the start. Then about halfway through, the whole Frooshcast thing came up with the Australians. So I was like, all right, I got to go do this thing now. But when they were starting off, there was this dude in the chat. He was like trying like hell. He every couple minutes, he's like, "Hey guys, just so you know, you can swap what side they're on." And then no one would say anything. He's like, "All right, well, if none of you care," and he'd come back like 5 minutes later, go like, "Listen, you can change if they're left or right." No one says anything. He's like, "Well, if nobody cares," and he comes back 10 minutes later, "Hey guys, you can swap the sides." And I was like, man, this guy just really wants people to know. I was laughing. I was like, I didn't mean to laugh at him, but I was just like when he came back like the third or fifth time, I was like, man, you know, keep trucking on, man.
Yeah, dude, we get it. Swap sides. Awesome.
Right. Thank you.
I was like, come back. I was like, if you come back 10 times, I swear I am going to think about you when I go to bed. You're going to be my good memory of the evening. And if you're out there listening, seriously, I love you. I'm not trying to make fun of you here. You made that incredibly memorable for me. Because I knew exactly where he was coming from. And I was wondering, because I was in the middle of doing stuff, so I wasn't really chatting. And I was like thinking about it. And I was like, you know, describing that functionality in text is the most unwieldy thing to type out in the world. Because you're like... So, you know, when you take those memories and you stick them in and you can choose if it's a silver or gold tipped or left or right one, if you hold the button down, it will be one of them. And then if you release and hold the button down again, it will change to be the other one. And I was like, this is really unwieldy to describe.
Yeah. It's a little bit difficult.
I was like, props to you, dude, if you're actually trying to describe this in a fast moving text chat. I'm not going to help because I'm busy, but keep it up.
Yeah. But, okay, anyway, they are awesome to have. Little props from the show, and they've got about 5 minutes before they're completely upstaged on this podcast.
I talked about it last week, but I could talk about it again.
Oh, well, thank God.
What do you think about the speaker quality? Because I think that, to me, that was one of the biggest draws, is that they had very clear sibilance.
Okay, well, yeah, well, all of them do. You know, all the ones that I've mentioned, like my Tato Ba actually sounds better, I think, than the DX toy.
Yeah, and how amazing is that? That like the Gashapon ones, they just went whole hawk and went like, all right, put the best speakers in these, and that's why at first when they said complete selection Dopon is going to be capsule, I was like, oh, because I was thinking of capsule 1 and 2, which sucked.
Oh yeah,
and then I got my hands on capsule 5 with Eternal and Joker, and I was like, holy crap, these are nice.
Oh yeah,
all of a sudden. And actually, if you ever get your hands on more of them, something interesting is the opening ones they announced in that box are a little bit more like Capsule 3 and 4, in that mm-hmm. the sound quality is good, but not super amazing like in the newer Capsule ones, and the button is soft. But then on ones like Old, or the 8 that they revealed later, some of those have not only even better speakers, but that click on the button that they gained over the last two series.
The two I've got right now are Zone and Old, which they hid originally. I've yet to pick up any of the previously announced ones.
Yeah, I think Zone and Old, Zone and Old are among the bunch. They're actually, I think, better than the other ones in the box. It might have just been my box, but I found, honestly, that the 8 or 9 new ones had, they all sound great, but the 8 or 9 new ones almost felt like a newer production run.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know so much. And it's just it's nice having them, just because, you know, the whole reason I didn't go in for that is because I've already got 26 of these noises.
Yeah, yeah.
What do I need them separately for? That's, what, 30, where's my math gone here? There's 52 batteries.
I'm trying to follow along, and you're throwing numbers out, and I'm getting lost. 35
sticks. So 70 watch batteries. 70 LR44 batteries.
70 watch batteries, yeah. I want that on my hands.
Well, you know why the box is so heavy? Because there are 70 LR44 batteries in it.
Exactly.
That's why at first I opened that box, I was like, why is this so heavy? I was like, oh wait, these each have 2 watch batteries. That adds up, I bet. And then someone in the Ustream I ran made the very good point of like, so what happens when all those batteries die? And I was like, yeah, shut up.
Yeah, I'm looking at my Gaia memory collection that currently takes 3 storage boxes, and I fear that day.
I gotta figure out. Someone's got
one of those batteries pops and starts melting through everything.
Oh, I need people. The one thing I did save in the complete selection box is I saved every single battery tab. So after I get tired of looking at the thing and I'm like, I'm going to put this, you know, on display for a while and not push the buttons. I'm just like, all right, put all the tabs in.
Should I move on?
Yeah. We're stuck on these memories now.
Yeah. Hey, they're a drug addiction. You said it.
They're a cool play pattern. If people like, you know, you show people videos of them, people will find one that they think makes a cool noise.
Mm-hmm. See what else I got. After being dragged to the mall by a female, which is always so fun.
I hate it more when I get dragged to the mall by a male, because usually they're like twice my age.
That's
in a white
difficult,
van,
yeah.
And then they're all like, yeah. Let's go to the candy store. And I'm like, but I don't want to. And
Okay, you have issues to work out. Just letting you know. But as long as I was there, since I saw it for a grand total of $13, picked up the complete 2002 He-Man series.
Yeah, I think I got that for like $17 at Zeller's last year.
Yeah. Yeah, for $13, it's worth it just for the PSAs they added for the DVDs.
Yeah.
I love those.
Oh, nice.
Because they could have done it like tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, because it's just so cliche and cheesy to do now. Like, every cartoon used to do it, and now none do. So they could have gone tongue-in-cheek, and they could have made it silly. No, dead serious. Like, straight out of the 80s, kind of fourth-wall-breaking, you know, morals for the day, which makes it even funnier to me for some reason.
I've always said I think that stuff is twice as great when it's done with a straight face. Because when they wink at me, I kind of feel like, okay, so you're telling me I'm stupid. All right, I get it.
But yeah,
then, like, well, if it's just like, no, look both ways when you cross the street, I'm like, ha ha. This is awesome.
Yeah, well, the cartoon is, it knows what it's doing. That, like, I just, you know, just before the podcast, I finished the episode that, okay, for those who remember the old show, the Diamond Ray of Disappearance, which was like the most powerful little thing they had ever made on the old show, and it took an entire episode to get rid of. In the new series, they knew they were using it, they knew they were putting it in, they killed it in a minute. It was an opening. So they know. So that's the kind of, they know what they're doing to throw back to the old. But when they do the PSA, it's just okay. You win here. You win. I won't lie to my friends anymore.
You don't, or He-Man's gonna come and punch your face off with his super strength.
Exactly. So that's been encompassing like half of my time, and the other half, because. You know, I was at the mall anyway, and I figured, you know, why not? Pokemon White!
Woo! Oh, I can't believe you guys. What's wrong with Pokemon Black? What's the draw of going white over black? I want to know now.
Yeah, I want to know.
It's like red versus blue.
I know. God, that's the running joke on another podcast of mine. It's like, me and my co-host both wanted the new Pokemon version, but we didn't want to have to... We felt a little awkward saying we wanted to buy the black Pokemon.
I found it awkward. You
What's wrong with Jinx? Oh,
she's
I went
purple
there.
Now.
Welcome to our family-based podcast based on children's property, ladies and gentlemen.
All the racism just simmering underneath.
This is what you do when you have Pokemon black and white, is you cause all this. I'm not going to go into this. Go and play Deadly Premonition. Go play a family game like Deadly Premonition, please. Thank you.
I haven't bought a Pokemon game in forever. And apparently the hardest game to get, the hardest game magazine to get a perfect score in, gave it a perfect score, and I went,
so I heard,
okay.
Famitsu, right? They gave it a 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. That does actually make me want to try it out sometime, because I'm like, I mean, it's everything I've read is everyone says Pokemon game. You do that thing you did in the last Pokemon game, but for some reason you like doing it anyway. And I was like, I can dig it. And I watched some footage of it, and I was like, hey, it took him a decade, but now everything's moving on the screen. That's cool. And then 100 in Famitsu. I'm like, okay, it's got to have done something cool to warrant that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because it's all like little improvements, little animations. Like, okay, when I put a Pokemon to sleep now, it actually closes its eyes. Thank you.
Well, I mean, again, it's impressive.
Wait. When you
say,
put a Pokemon to sleep,
when you kill it, it's when it's outlived its usefulness.
When its hips
goes off to a ranch where it plays with other Pokemons all day long. We'll go.
Is that the box system?
Family game. Family show. We're talking here. I say it's good that they have all those animation things, but also I gotta say, like, how long ago was Pokemon started? And how long ago did other games
15
like that?
Years ago.
How long did it take for other games on the Game Boy Advance even to start putting in animations on stuff? I look at Super Robot Wars when I say a lot of this. Every Super Robot Wars DS game buttloaded with animations. Did the other Pokemon DS games have animation, or were they still?
They had like pre-battle animation, but then it just stayed static. Yeah. This is the first game where they're constantly moving.
Because I give it props for doing that, but at the same time, I kind of wag my finger and go like, "It also took you till now to do this."
Well, no, it's not just that. I mean, they've gone completely nuts as far as the presentation goes. I mean, all the cities are three-dimensional now. There's depth to the areas to go through. There's different camera angles.
So do you guys think that it got screwed over by getting released on the DS and not the 3DS?
Not really. It's freaking Pokemon. It's going to sell a billion copies by tomorrow.
That's true. Already has sold a billion copies.
Most likely, yes.
Yet it's still readily available here, which I gotta give it props to. Like, I was looking around and I was like, you know, if I wanted this game, I wouldn't have any trouble buying it right now.
Oh yeah, that was Best Buy today, had a standee in the middle of the store that you could tell it had been hit, but it still had plenty of stock in it.
Yeah. Like, given the, you know, I always remember the Wii shortages of way back yesteryear, and I always just kind of assumed that a game this hyped would have been flushed clean out of the stores by release day. And it's not like it's not selling, for sure. You look on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Look on this pod. 50% of this podcast is on Team White in Pokemon.
Which means, Evangelist, do you have a DS?
I do. I have a black DS Lite.
Okay.
Gotta get black.
If I was going to buy one, it would have been black anyway, because black is cooler. The crow wears black clothes, and the crow is cool.
Sounds like I'm going to have to buy a DS and buy black just to keep the world at balance.
If you're going to buy a DS, wait till after the 3DS comes out.
Oh yeah.
Even if you don't want a 3DS, even if you don't want a 3DS, everything's going to be cheaper after it comes out. How does this become a video game podcast all of a sudden?
I don't know.
I know that you got Transformers as well. Except you
was that outro at WTF at.
Don't know what you're talking about. That was part of Seth's audio. It was just in there. I don't know.
Oh.
Never forget.
Okay. Just to backpedal just a little bit, because I completely forgot about this. Before I hit like the one Transformer thing I picked up, the two DuPont memories I got came from Spike Y on eBay.
Yes.
And the nice thing about buying from him is that he always throws in like one like little mini poster out of Japan for everything you buy, and always with like one free Gashapon toy.
Yeah, the one thing I got off him, I got a Kamen Rider Joker off him, and he gave me like this little figurine of the first Kamen Rider in it. I was like, hey.
Yeah, which is always nice. I got the poster for I got the Japanese poster for Green Hornet.
Oh wow.
Which is kind of weird. The one for Sucker Punch.
Oh wow.
And my little figurine was a little like mini Kamen Rider Odin from the Ryuki series. Except he's been in his capsule for so long, all the plastic is bent. So his head is tilted to the right just enough, so he always looks confused.
Odin does not understand.
Yeah, that was my first thing. Odin is confused. And I just took a picture of him, just like,
He's not confused. Like he's trying out for the new Thriller music video.
It's not even that much of a lean. It's just enough. It's like when a dog hears a new noise and it perks one ear up.
Hey, some of us resemble that reaction. Thank you.
I don't perk my ears up. I just look and I shout, "What?" That's how I react to it. So you got a Transformer?
I got a Transformer toy, believe it or not.
You buy those?
I haven't had the luck of everyone else to hit, you know, scourges and cups.
Yeah, hey, I have not seen a single one of those things.
You're in Canada. You don't count.
I'm planning to do a 2-hour trip up island because I heard there are Perceptors up there, and I have nothing to do tomorrow.
The one thing I stumbled across, I have no idea why I even bought it. I got the Bumblebee head.
I'm confused. What do you mean the helmet?
The helmet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean like the one you put on your head that does the voice change stuff and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the creepy one with half a face.
Not the creepy one with half a face, not the one with the 3D glasses.
Well, I mean, what was the impetus? Was it on sale, or was it just like you were
$8.
Okay, yeah, I'd buy it for $8.
Yeah, for $8, I can make a video that would make that back.
I would just buy it for $8 because that helmet, I remember at TFCon, someone had one. We were playing around with it, and I was like, you know, much like the Prime helmet, this is actually a pretty well-done representation of the head, all things considered.
Oh, yeah, which is kind of creepy. Like, it's to my left right now. I can look at Bumblebee, and his dead head is sitting right there.
Yeah. I mean, I have my Prime helmet with its non-Cullen voice because I got one of the first ones.
What you need little siblings for to pawn those off on.
I know,
not
I wanna,
that I'd do something like that, but
except the Bumblebee one gets on my nerves because you know, like you turn on the Prime helmet and it, you know, it does like the whole voice echoing effect with, you know, just one switch. Because it is the movie Bumblebee, their bright idea is when you switch it to that mode, it will play music over your voice, too. And it's different. Here's the thing. You have your choice of genre. So I can play country. I can play jazz. I can play rock.
So basically, the whole gimmick is that it's extremely rude.
Basically.
I like it.
Yeah. You're just like Bumblebee. No voice. Yeah, just completely writes over you.
I know this is a bit of a strange idea, but I think it would be cool if actually the thing went whole hog and was like, okay, you want to be Bumblebee, so like rivets just bolt into your neck and then like a mechanism inside the mask like stitches your mouth shut.
What is wrong with you?
See, I was just thinking like a minor electronic shock to your throat, not...
Nah, man, sutures. Children's podcast. Huh. We're all good.
He's like the scene from Superman 3, just wires covering the head.
I mean, I had a nap today and I had this dream about this field that was made of the aggregate DNA of alternate reality Captain Picards surrounding this factory complex in which living Captain Picards were being herded inside and fused into one giant omni-organic flesh thing.
No more late night snacks for you before you take.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. You can move on now.
Ah, all right. So what I got this week? All right. Well, I had that dream. That's one thing I got this
psychological
week.
Exam. I hope.
And going from last week, because it's more on topic here, I did get a box with the Panda Metal and the Complete Selection Memories. They're cool. I'm now actually really pumped for the T2s, even though, goddamn, that is a giant ass box. And, like, it's giant ass in the way where it's not fun giant ass. It's actually kind of, like, irritating giant ass box. I also I went out and, in my area, Generations Blur and Dirge has finally arrived. So, my Toys R Us, apparently one of the Toys R Us's on mainland BC, there's a lot of Blur. And one guy on Cybertron CA said, I think it was like the Metrotan Toys R Us had 26 Blurs on the shelf at one point.
Good.
Which is
great. I'd believe it.
it's great because we never got Blur and Dirge here. And as far as I can tell, going by reports, my province has skipped Reveal the Shield Wave 1 for the Deluxes. We're getting Wave 2 now. So I'm going to have to go out of my way to get Jazz Fallback and Mindset if I want to get those guys. And I think I might go United on Jazz for the White. There, I said it. But Blur and Dirge are pretty cool. Dirge, again, is just like, I got the Bakon 07 set, but now it's like, if I see those toys on the shelf, I have to get them as at least as conversation pieces, even though I don't get visited by anybody, so I just have those conversations by myself and, you know, the people that I lock up in my basement. But Blur is pretty cool. Although Blur, I gotta say, good luck finding one with good paint. I saw 5 at my Toys R Us, and they all had scratches somewhere on the paint apps on his hood. So I was like, damn, but I don't really care. I love his guns. I love that his gun is hard plastic and not bendy plastic. It actually really does help. and I put the little guns onto the big gun, and I was kind of like, you know, I don't... Maybe I just put them on the wrong way, but I was like, this doesn't really feel so much like a tripod or a bipod as it does like he now has a triple-barreled cannon. But, I gotta mess with him some more. I like him, though. And I've not had problems getting him into some really cool poses. It's really thanks to the jointed sub-handle on the side of the gun. That helps a lot with posing. Then I went up to Walmart and couldn't find anything new until I looked down and I saw that we also now in my city have Grimstone and Steamhammer. So I picked those up. And this is going to stem off of Aaron's conversation, but damn, Power Core got better.
Yeah, for the last release.
Yeah, Grimstone and Steamhammer. I like other Power Core toys, but they are actually the first 5 packs that I would say are autonomous, that could stand alone as good toys, absolutely. No questions asked. The Combaticons are very close, but Steamhammer and Grimstone are such good single units, extremely well done. I really enjoyed on Steamhammer, when you put them into torso mode, everything has somewhere to clip in, even those hooks. Yep. That was so cool. Grimstone, his shoulder junk in his little robot mode is kind of irritating. But again, everything plugs in somewhere. Really well done. The Dinobot limbs, fantastic. The Constructicon limbs, surprisingly good. And I didn't know they had thumbs until I was like, what's this moving part? Oh, hey, thumbs! And I got really excited. They're fantastic. And I was pretty sure, like, those new 2-pack guys were going to be pretty good as well. And if they are, it's proof that no matter what the Transformers line is, by the time you reach the end of its lifespan, it's very rare for it to not be a hugely marked improvement.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the designers, you know, getting more into how to design stuff that works, the engineers getting better at doing that stuff. Like, on Grimstone and Steamhammer, I have no limbs popping off, and everything... It's just clunk. It's right in there.
They're dead solid.
Yeah. I like, one of the Dinobot legs is a little bit looser than I would like, but it doesn't actually fall off. So I don't really care, because it still sticks on there. It's not like the Swindle Jeep. That thing is broken ass junk. And that's why I say that the Combaticons I really can't say are autonomously perfect, because one of the legs is kind of janked up on most cases. So Power Core got good, and now that Power Core seems to be done, I'm actually thinking I'm gonna do what I did with the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts, and I'm just gonna go back and not for retail, but at least in terms of the 2-pack repaints, I'd love to grab them all on sale just to finish it off. The Protectobots and Destrons, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be able to find on sale. The nasty word that I don't say because I'm a friend to the British. I may have to pay full price on him, because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to find him on sale. But
yeah, I don't think you're going to either. He was the first one to sell out at the fan club.
Yeah, but I am at the point where I think I'm going to pick up all the Power Core, because it got so good by the end. I want to be able to do a full retrospective on these guys, including the repaints, and just go like, here is the lineup. Here's how it works. It's just great. Like Wave 1, definitely. I can see why it put people off. There's a lot of weakness in Wave 1 on every front. There were some good toys, but you had to find the right stuff to go with the right stuff. Wave 2, fabulous 2-packs. And, I mean, the 5-packs had great limbs, but then the central guys weren't the best. wave three, it's a bunch of repaints. But then we hit wave four, where it's like we get our new toys, and it's all good. And it's like, yes, yes, it hit that point that back when Power Core started, this is where I was hoping it would go. That by the end of its lifespan, it would do some really good toys. And I think that there's some pretty good toys. The definitely weaknesses. I'm not saying they're perfect. Instant weaknesses I can cite. Grimstone's non-claw hand is a little bit too straight compared to the rest of his limbs. Mm-hmm. Steamhammer's combined mode head should not be as immobile as it is. It should be able to turn more. Don't really see why it doesn't. But I mean, for Power Core, they're fantastic. And if you're someone who was put off of Power Core, look into Grimstone and Steamhammer. If you want to see the best iteration of a five pack, those are the best. If you want to give it a second chance, I still think that my favorite fully combined thing is Sledge with the Destructicon limbs. I haven't tried Sledge with the Constructicons yet, but the Destructicon limbs on Sledge are my favorite Power Core thing to date. But it's marvelous stuff. Also, Matty Collector, I dove back on Matty Collector just for a little bit. I swear I'm not waking up in the mornings for this stuff. But they said, they were like, hey, we still got Keldor and display stands, like 3 days after they started selling the reissues. And I was like, hey, I kind of wanted Keldor. And those stands are dumb, but they fill out the box, so I'm saving on a bit of shipping. So I got Keldor in the display stands. Keldor's cool. He comes with two purple half swords, so you can make a full purple half sword, but they don't clip together all that well, so he often ends up just with like a banana sword because it's peeling open from the top. The stands are really dumb. I like them, but I would never tell someone that, oh yeah, you should buy these stands, they're the best, because they're not. They look cool. I like that they have paint apps and stuff, but this whole thing of like all these holes to put the different pegs in, it kind of works. On mine, the pegs are not popping out and they're not breaking or stress marking yet, but the whole thing just seems so overly complicated for what should have been a really simple idea. And also, like, for $12, I just don't know about this for $12. Not disappointed I have them, but I certainly wouldn't tell someone that they should get them. Also, of late, I've been playing Dead Space games. I finished Dead Space 1. I actually beat Dead Space 1 in two play sessions because I played it for a really long time. Both play sessions.
All the lights on.
I had like a light on so I could see my controller. But I also had my sound turned up pretty high. And I played it late at night. Dead Space 2, I started playing it and they had a difficulty level that said for veteran Dead Space players. I started playing on that. And I'm getting my ass kicked. So I think I'm going to start again on regular. Because I think I'm playing it on, I think it's called like Zealot or something, like on hard. And I'm getting my ass whooped. I think I got to tone it back and then do Zealot on a new game plus. I don't know. I'll give it another try. But I got to the first time that you find the adolescent monkey children, necromorphs. And they kicked my ass, man. Like, I killed like 15 of them and then 15 more came out. And I was like, I got no ammo, and there's nothing here to throw at you guys. Melee! And then just got ripped to shreds. So, I don't know. I might have been tired that night, too, because that was after I got back from a little shopping trip, during which I used some coupons. I actually had $150 of gift cards from Future Shop from my credit card. So I went and got myself a PlayStation Move and a second Move controller. So I could play some Dead Space Extraction, which is awesome with the Move. So good. It's also it's a Wii game that's basically had its graphics updated for the PS3 release. If you have a Wii and it plays anything like it plays on my PS3, it's worth getting. It's a rail shooter, but it's like the best rail shooter I've ever played. it's fun as hell. And the Move, I got the bundle, so I have the sports game. I totally played some ping pong, and I like it actually. I really like the, I think the word I'm looking for here is the fidelity of the motion control on it.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, it's definitely like, if you're going to make a comparison, it's the Move versus the Wii with the motion plus. So, I now see kind of where motion control is coming from. I feel good about it. And I came down like hell on the Move because you look like an idiot when you're using the PlayStation Move. Because you're waving around a black stick with a multicolored glowing squishy ball on the end. You look stupid. But it controls fantastically. And I haven't actually tried a Wii with a Motion Plus yet. I would assume a Wii Motion Plus is around about on par with a Move, give or take. So if it's anything like that...
Yeah, I forget what the price-wise it is.
It's great stuff. I mean, the Move doesn't have a big library right now. Like, literally, you got the sports game that's bundled in with it is actually pretty good. It's worth your time. Although, if you get it, the archery is only really worth it if you have two Move controllers, because then it's really fun. Because literally, you hold two of those Move wands. You hold one as the bow, and then you reach behind your back with the other one to take an arrow out, and then you notch it. You notch your imaginary arrow on your imaginary bow, and it can tell you're doing it. And it's so cool. But I could not imagine that being anywhere near as fun with only one controller. So two wands is kind of necessary for some of the better move stuff. Extraction is totally worth it as a move game. And unfortunately, I can't think of other move games to try out. I'm going to look on the PSN network for some of the more indie ones. But, you know, stuff like the fight, you don't get the fight for the game. You get it so you can watch the hilarious Danny Trejo training videos. Everything I've heard about the shoot is that it's not worth the money. I heard that Kung Fu Riders is really stupid. So, I mean, it helped that I had the coupons so that the move didn't actually cost me, like, budget money. But I hope it pans out. Because I know that at this point the Wii has a library that's worth playing. And I hope that the move gets to that point as well. And I want to throw out there, I would have loved to get a Kinect, because I played it with a Kinect at Best Buy, and it was fun. But I know I don't have enough room for it. And that's always going to be the downside with the Kinect, is that you need a huge amount of open space for it. And that said, actually, the Kinect, if you haven't tried one, try one out. It's fun. Like, it's not, it is a gimmick, but it's well done. Like, I was wearing a jacket and a long coat, and the thing could tell what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I got to give it huge props to the Kinect. It's just a reality of its technology is that it needs an amount of space that not everybody's going to have, which is a shame because it's otherwise pretty good. But the Move also, Move is pretty good. Like I said, I thought it was stupid and you look dumb when you use it, but it's actually some pretty solid tech. Although I got to throw out there, I was listening to the Giant Bomb GDC podcast and there was this mental image made there, which I thought was the best thing ever, which was when you fully embrace the PS3, you're going to be that jackass standing in your living room waving two Move wands around while wearing a giant pair of battery-powered 3D glasses. And you're going to look like an idiot.
Yep.
You're going to look like such an idiot. having a really good time, but, like, I don't know. If you haven't seen a Move, you know, try one out. You don't look cool, but it is fun. And that's all I got this week. That went on a bit. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, guys. I mean, I know you guys were all super snappy and stuff, but that was
sarcastic. I thought I went on for quite a bit, so.
I was being sarcastically abusive there.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're going to take an intermission break, and then we're going to be back with some listener question action and then some Dark of the Moon video game reactions. So stay tuned, because this isn't a commercial, and you're actually able to fast forward through this, so I don't know why I'm pretending like you need to listen to this whole thing. But let's ride.
Pokemon are everywhere. They're invading. Each with powers more awesome than the next. Pokemon are burning with flame power. Their whirlwind power blows them away.
Oh, no!
There's nowhere to hide.
Yikes!
Can they be mastered? Yes, the more Pokemon you catch, the more powers you gain. You can put Pokemon power in your pocket.
Gotta catch them all!
Pokemon Ball Blasters, Battle Figures, Power Bouncers, and Talking Pokemon, each sold separately from Hasbro.
Ladies and gentlemen, J'adore. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, J'adore.
J'adore.
J'adore. I never know how to do the R on French properly. J'adore. There's always a bit of a.
It's tip of the tongue.
I'm thinking of there was a French song I was listening to. Anyway, this is besides the point. We're back to talk about some listener questions, and our first listener question comes in from Chattlewiz 76, spelled Chadlewis 76. He asks. Or he says, I've only just started listening to your podcast in the last few months, so I apologize with two P's. if this has been done before, but here goes! Using only existing Transformers media, mix and match pieces to create your ultimate Transformers fiction. Format, colon, comic, cartoon series, CG hand-drawn, or combination, novel, animated movie, live-action movie, etc. Generation, Gen 1, Gen 2, Unicron, Beast Wars, Movieverse, etc. Or in this case, ECT. ECT. Art style, colon, G1, G1 rebooted, i.e. Dreamwave IDW, animated, ECT. Optionally, colon, what writers, producers, voice actresses, ECT, would you want involved? End quote. So that's the challenge laid out to you gentlemen. Basically...
You didn't give us time ahead on this one? Why?
Yeah.
I was on the wrong computer.
A little prep would have been nice.
The best way to think about this is just use bits and pieces of existing Transformers and stitch them together to make a Franken Transformers series. Okay, I'll give you guys some time. I'll start. I would like it to be a cartoon series novel, movie, with the style being, I would love to see a mixture of Movieverse with some of the artwork from the G2 comic, but animated together. And then I want that to be, I want the generation to be something original. Or maybe some Movieverse offshoot. And I don't know. For writers, really, I can't name writers right now. The only writer name I can think of in terms of cartoons is Marty Eisenberg. And he's done a lot of Transformers, so I'd love to see someone new working on it. Or at least someone from Transformers who did some cool stuff. Here, let me pick another cliche one. Nick Roche. In fact, let me wipe all that out. I want the format to be a cartoon with a generation of whatever, and I want the art style to be Nick Roche, and written by Nick Roche, and produced by Nick Roche, and I want it to be voice acted by Nick Roche as well, doing every single voice, just because I think that'd be fun. So I want to see Transformers Nick Roche, Transformers colon Nick Roche, or in fact, Transformers line under the logo, Nick Roche in a cool new font, with the O on the Roche being a power core combiner connector port. And I want the C to be a clip system clip. And I want the N to be the N from Nazca from Kamen Rider Double. So, Omegas, how about you? What would you do for this?
Gee, if I could do anything. Being such a fanboy of the toy line, I kind of wanted someone else to handle Cybertron. Anyone. I don't care who. A 5-year-old with an Etch-A-Sketch and a Life Bright could do a better job.
That I agree with you. Actually, I would love to see the Unicron trilogy on the whole get given the Western animation treatment that Primon Animated got, of like take their concepts and then write them twice as solid, half as many episodes.
Yeah, because I liked everything in Cybertron except story.
The whole Unicron trilogy is like thing. I love the bullet points of the Unicron trilogy. I just don't actually have fun watching all of it.
Yes, yeah, the Unicron trilogy is great if you're just looking through the Wikipedia article.
Yeah.
But, I love the Cybertron toy line. I loved a lot of the character ideas they had. So, if you had Prime's animators working on Cybertron, give me Derek J. Wyatt to design everything in there. Just because it's the only way I could like the designs better. And just let Scott McNeil voice the whole damn cast, because he has that range.
Man, imagine if some proper drama was applied to like Energon with the whole all the Armada carryover.
Oh stuff. Yeah,
like proper writing added into that.
Oh yeah,
and I don't. I'm not saying like let's not make it a kids show. In kids shows, you can have proper drama. So have some proper kids show level drama attached to things like Demolishor. Make Demolishor. Fix his damn story, Him and Starscream, fix their stories, and I'd already be happy enough with a Unicron trilogy thing. Oh, man. Like, 6 years ago now, and I'm still hung up on that.
Yeah. that's what fans do.
Hey, guess what? We have this great story concept. Oh, but we should ruin it by mind-wiping everyone, so there's never going to be any kind of throwback to what...
Tell us how you really think.
In fact, here, let me even, this is even simpler. Let's just do, let's do Super Link even again, and let's take away Galvatron's mind-wiping garbage. And then the whole show will be better. There, I fixed it. Mind wipes, man.
We get rid of 20 episodes of static Transformers floating in space shooting each other. Not hitting a thing, I might add.
Leave all that in. I don't care. Just take out those stupid mind wipes so that we can have a show where Alexis is still in the show, have the scene with the ghost of Starscream that everyone knew she was supposed to have the moment the show was solicited, that they didn't do because some idiot was like, nah, let's have Starscream get his mind wiped. Or no, maybe he's not even Starscream. Okay, fine, but clear the friggin'... Ah, man. That entire... It's all of my Unicron Trilogy junk always ends up falling into the Energon Super Link well, because I think that was the heart of what knocked the entire train off the tracks. And yeah. Like, there's stuff that worked in all those shows, but like if Energon didn't just obliterate some of those possible long-term story arcs, it's like, ah, man. And I'm not saying just Energon. Super Link did it too. Don't you try to tell me Super Link is innocent here. Super Link is just as guilty.
Oh. No, Super Link dropped the ball just as bad.
Yeah, Super Link did the mind wipes as well. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like Energon screwed up some of those scenes by like Demolisher's last words were just demented in Energon, but still, Super Link, like, gave him they had the whole hand animated scene and the eye patch coming off, and then they resurrect him, and you could have him and Starscream going all like, oh, I don't remember who I am, and then have people go like, no, remember who you are. It's super easy. It's dramatic. No, and just make him a monkey. It's better that way. Look what you did to me, Omegas.
I do nothing to you, okay? I think you of all people have no right to say anyone did anything to you.
Got me on this track.
It's gonna start crying here soon.
Oh, man! And what the hell was the point of Wing Saber? Ah! Anyway.
Wing Dagger.
Wing Dagger. Hey, Aaron.
Damn.
I think you've been given sufficient time at this point to have concocted an answer of some kind.
Like to see an honest-to-goodness, intentional long-run animated comic book.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Because the comic books that they did, the 4 or 5.5 that they got, one was kind of a retelling. Another one, wasn't it the second one, was kind of a parallel to the story, the part that you didn't see, and then some good, authentic issues, and then kind of the twins one for the Jetfire, Jetstorm, and then nothing. And it would have been nice to see in-universe or in a universe very similar to animated, either way, could have gone very well, and IDW, I think, could have gotten years out of that with just occasionally going to Marty and those guys and saying, hey, how well does this work with everything?
I'm sure there's some kind of Cartoon Network rights jargon that's messing all that up.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I always tell. There's a lot of people who have told me, like, oh man, that friggin' movie killed animated, or like, oh, Prime's killed anime. I'm like, no.
No, Cartoon Network killed animated.
I wouldn't even say Cartoon Network killed animated. I'd just say that some really unfortunate business circumstances killed animated.
Cartoon Network didn't kill animated. Cartoon Network just pushed animated down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, like, well, this is. I don't think there's an entity that you can really jump onto and go like, you're the one who did this, because you know it's that's how the cards fell together.
It's, yeah, I blame Walmart.
Walmart killed it. There you go.
Yeah,
the retailers killed animated. It's a weird position, because I'm not a hardcore proponent of the Dark of the Moon toys, but I'm always going like, nah, like, you can't, don't come down on Dark of the Moon for killing toy lines. That's years apart now. Dark of the Moon's a swan song, actually, isn't it?
Maybe.
Possibly, yeah. That wigs me out when I think, like, man. The final movie toy lineup possibly for the next while. It's just in 07 that I was all like, dude, they're making toys off these designs. Oh, man. But yeah, who would you want to write the animated comic book?
Marty's fine.
Yeah, Marty. Who would you like to do the art for the animated comic book?
Just that style. I don't care who does it as long as it's the right style. It's not some movie-verse take on animated with robot teeth and crazy extra wires.
Can I pretend you said Marcelo Matier?
Sure.
All right, good. Who would you like to voice act the comic book? I have an answer for this. I'm just curious if you're going to hit it, too.
Who do you want to voice
act? The answer to this question when you say, who do you want to voice act the comic book, is you say, myself, when I read it out loud to myself.
Sure. That works.
Don't you do that? Am I the only one who reads my comics out loud to myself loudly on the bus?
Yeah. Has Chris slipped his meds again?
I don't think he ever took them.
I don't take meds. Herbal cures, baby. All natural. Don't need none of them powdered chemical crushed together pill things. I'm all good. I live in BC. I hope that answered your question to a satisfactory degree, Chadlewis. Chad. Wait, I've been saying Chadlewis. I think this is Chad Lewis, 76.
That could be Bravo. Something drastically different.
I was reading the chattel, like chadel, and then whiz. I was like, that's a weird... No, it's probably Chad... Sorry, Chad Lewis! Hey, Chadlewis! Oh, dear. Next question comes from Shadowbreaker, who says... Another round of listener questions from Shadowbreaker. Question one. Many Transformers characters never made it into the shows or movies. Are there any voice actors that you think would fit the toy or comic-only characters? If not a specific voice actor, what qualities do you think they would have? Omegas.
I think they should all sound exactly like that.
Hello, I am Emerith Zaron from the Cult of Primus.
Exactly.
That plus Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Me, Grimlock, badass. You will find no mercy dispensed here, only pain.
That's what I was waiting for.
I would just like it if you could all sign my petition to have me voice Dark Mount Straxus in upcoming Transformers media. That would really help me out.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll sign your e-petition. Send me a link.
I don't have a link yet because I haven't made it, but I'm hoping someone out there will make it and then put the link up. Aaron, what about you?
I just said that plus Christopher Walken.
Oh. Did either of you have like pertinent answers that would probably more so satisfy Shadowbreaker, or are we?
You know me. I'm going to answer Scott McNeil. Move on.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
Surprise me, Aaron. Who do you want to have voicing a comic character?
Who do I want to have voicing a comic character? I don't know. Again, you're hitting me up with these things I like to have deep thought about, and I get none.
Yeah. Spontaneity. We're all about here. Here, let me give you guys some lead time. What I'd like to see is, I'd actually like to see a character like Emerald Zaron, or some of the other, the more mystic, or creepier even, Transformers. I think Emerald Zaron's pretty creepy. Dude's mouth. Messed up.
Now, Can I give an actual one?
Well, that's what I was trying to give you some lead time on here.
Okay, keep leading.
Okay. So I want to see someone like Emerald Zaron or something like that, and I'd love to see them done by some of the few, I mean, the list of voice actors I love who aren't in Transformers is shrinking day by day at this point. Hey, what's up, Clancy Brown?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I actually don't, like, I don't know who's, like, as a voice actor, whose voice work I like that hasn't worked on Transformers. I don't know. I mean, Emerald Zaron would be kind of cool with some kind of like, you know, one of the better wise men or even, you know, cultist voices. Like, I mean, I would almost say Emerald Zaron would be a great Jeffrey Combs, but now we got Jeffrey Combs in already. we need Danny Trejo in Transformers. And Danny Trejo could play the Beast Wars 2 Tri-Predicus. I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? Wonderful. It's terribly stereotyped.
In fact, if you go and watch the TF Cog distributed Transformers 2 Beast Wars 2 movie fan dub, I believe you will see that they are voiced by a very sexy gentleman from Canada. One of them was. I forgot which one. I was the pirates, never mind. Talking about myself. But Omegas, do you have an actual answer?
Yeah, going on the apparent pretender theme that we had earlier, and maybe it's just because of the cartoon I've been watching, I kind of want to see Brian Dobson doing Bludgeon, because he makes an awesome Skeletor.
Oh, yes. I forgot he was the one who did Skeletor in 2002. Yeah, he did a great job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just campy enough, but it still sounded a lot meaner than the old one.
Yeah, I still remember when I first watched that show, a friend of mine couldn't take him seriously because one of his first lines, he's like, "You want to say that again, Beast Man?" And my friend was all like, "This guy is hilarious." I was like, "No, seriously, he's evil." He's like, "Nah." I'm like, "Dude, no, he's got a skull for head." And I couldn't get my show into that, or couldn't get my friend into that show at all back then.
I love that show just for one concept. I know, and the Skeletor and this new Skeletor is like, okay, the old one is like, okay, he's going to be snarky toward you. There's your punishment. No, this one dangles you in chains over a lava pit with, like, living, like, lava octopuses inside.
Lava octopuses.
That's what I thought it looked like. All right, there were live tentacles in lava.
I got a new answer. I want Octopunch. I want him to be voiced by Bill Nighy.
Wow.
I win. I don't know. Aaron, do you have any other answers you wanted to throw in for this one?
Just sitting here chewing through. I was trying to think of somebody that has a good range of voices. I'm thinking somebody like Gary Oldman.
Oh, dude, yes. Gary Oldman would be awesome.
And I was thinking like a punch counter punch kind of.
Oh!
You know, you have like the. Because he did Viktor Reznov in Black Ops, so he had a very good, like, Russian, you know, almost cliche Russian. So have hit that as counter punch, and then a. Like an English accent or something for
Jim
punch
Gordon.
To be something. Yeah, something. Completely different. Yeah, because that
Gordon.
Was Dark Knight, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's Jim Gordon. Dude,
so,
I would
yeah.
Gary Oldman for that's Mike Punch Counterpunch now. Yes. Oh, God. That would be so awesome. Sorry, I'm a little pumped now.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
There you go.
That's the You're best welcome. Answer to this question now.
Oh, yeah.
Hands in the air.
At some point, we need a Tim Curry. That's like the last voice I need in a Transformers
yeah,
series now.
He's still missing, and he's been in so much junk, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be putting Transformers, put him in something good. Get him in on Prime.
Yeah.
Dude.
We need a maniacal design. Oh, bring back Archiville.
Now you know what's
going to
happen. There's going to be a Prime episode with Danny Trejo, Gary Oldman, and Ice Cube.
Actually, I like the idea. You say Dr. Archiville, that is a much better idea than mine. I was going to say get Tim Curry in a Shockwave just to make people get mad. I am Shockwave! Isn't that like the Tim Curry voice he was doing for like Prince Lothar in that lousy Voltron 3D cartoon?
Oh god, that thing.
Shockwave. Oh.
Voltron, the third dimension.
That Voltron force!
I want to abuse that show so bad, but it is non-existent.
It's on.
No one wants to remember it.
There's a channel on YouTube that I think has full like officially has full episodes.
Mini episodes.
Oh, mini episodes. Yeah, so you
yeah
look,
it's yeah, like I look 4-minute chunks.
Anyway, Shadowbreaker has one other question. Question two.
Head Robots is a third-party company specializing in custom heads. Are there any custom heads you would like to see? Thank you for taking your time to answer these questions, -SB.
So, what kind of heads do you, what kind of head do you want? Omegas.
I want the animated headmaster that actually transforms.
That would be pretty, that would be kind of, I think, like the Head Robot's masterpiece. That would be up their alley as their pinnacle.
Either
we've now made the Head Robot.
Exactly. Either that, or there's part of me wants like a, since they are now making what we have a Megatron coming out now. I kind of want to see one of those that looks like Hot Rod or Rodimus, just so Proto Man would just lose his mind. I can make all of my toys hot rods now.
Infinite hot rod. That's a cool one. What about you, Aaron? What kind of head do you want?
The rough thing is with head robots, it's one of those things that I don't realize, hey, that guy could use a head change seriously until a lot of times after they've gone, hey, you know what we can do?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that is so cool. I never would have thought of that. The only thing that comes to mind immediately is looking at my Strafe. I think it would be neat to have a square head because Strafe was a Scramble City limb type, so like a blockhead rather than his repaint head. But I don't know.
That could be cool.
I don't know. About every other guy that's coming out right now in Generations, they're already building the head mold into it, so you don't have to go a kind of head, it's just his head, so I don't know.
Well, I have an answer for this that's going to turn this question head over heels. Upside down, if you will. I would love to see Head Robots make a really cool basic couple of headless bodies to stick heads onto.
That's a novel idea.
Like, don't make them look like anyone. Just make them look like generic robots that turn into generic things. But then just have those things kicking around. So it's like, hey, I got to stick my head somewhere. I'm going to stick my head into this socket.
That's a brilliant way to get around any copyright issue.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, completely headless toy that just happens to transform into this red and blue semi-truck. Oh, hey.
I mean, don't do that. I just mean, like, make these headless robots just turn into like really generic sci-fi vehicles or something like that, like as generic as can be while still looking cool. So they're just kind of like, these are anime, and they're headless anime, and you can stick these heads onto them to make them headed to anime.
Okay.
I mean doing up an obvious Optimus Prime body would be cool too, but I think it would be maybe not just safer, but I think overall just it would work out with so many more. Junkion whatever is doing those little heads as well now. They're just like, let's just make something with a G1 Headmaster port on it, and just make it a generic body. So it's like it's a drone body they can take over Headmaster style. But I mean that's also probably completely different from engineering little dudes to turn into heads. So this might not be a Head Robots thing. But stemming off that was the answer that I was thinking of.
Okay, new third-party company to supply for another third-party company. Headless robots.
Body masters.
Body masters.
Of course, right now, the head that I would love to see and the head I'd love to see in fiction would be, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, TJ Omega / JT Omegas.
Hey.
Write it.
No.
I hope we answered your questions, Shadowbreaker. We're now going to answer... I don't even think this needs a spoiler warning, but we're going to talk about the Dark of the Moon game stuff briefly to finish up the show. So, if you don't want to know what happens in video games, cover your ears right now!
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. You have been warned. Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity.
Okay, now that you've covered your ears, we got a little double shot of Dark of the Moon stuff. I mean, number one, most importantly, our very own Seth Buzzard attended the Gamers Development Conference, Gamer Developer Conference, GDC 2011, and sat in on actually 1.5 presentations of the Dark of the Moon game, and had a whole bunch of, like, we did, again, Supplemental 31, please do listen to that. That's the most direct way to hear us talking about that. He also did up a write-up that's up on the site now. And number one, I wanted to ask you guys if you had any reactions to Seth's write-up from the GDC, all those revelations. And then I guess rolling into that, there was an embargo on all this until this morning. And with the release of that embargo also came a new trailer that had a whole bunch of new stuff in it, including a movie-style Warpath, because apparently High Moon Studios' Transformers mascot is Warpath. And I kind of dig that. They put him into 2 out of 2 games now.
Yeah.
So just all rolled together, that stuff from that teaser, stuff from the GDC and Seth's write up. Maybe even if you listen to it at this point, stuff from our GDC podcast. Just your guys' reactions and stuff like that. Just open form it a little bit. Aaron, you got anything you want to bring up?
Laserbeak's freaking evil looking.
Yeah, he looks like
a spider snake bird thing.
Yeah, Laserbeak's one of those designs where I totally see why people would hate it, but I actually kind of I like the wings. The wings are what sell me on it. It's definitely not, it's actually a combination of the wings and the fact that he has VTOLs inside his wings.
Yeah.
So there's like this weird deranged logic to how he works, and I kind of
like
that.
Some crazy Final Fantasy 12 monster type of.
Yeah. He looks a whole lot like Japanese steampunk in a way.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that. But, you know, that said, he's also like so utterly un-Laserbeak, even though he is a bird-like thing that comes out of Soundwave, that, you know, I'm not going to argue the point if someone says, no, I hate him. Because it's like, well, you know, there's many, many completely logical reasons to not be into this design.
Yeah.
But Aaron, are you into Laserbeak, or are you on the
fence? I think it looks cool.
Omegas, what about you? How are you feeling about Laserbeak?
I am digging him. He is a nice little analog to all the minions we've seen so far from the movies. Though, I don't know. You make a steel condor, eagle, whichever you're going to call him in the movie, you're automatically awesome.
Yeah, I'm really liking that I figured if a Laserbeak was going to happen, he'd be more of like a kind of stealth drone thing, and not. Yeah. Not a blade-winged VTOL death griffin made out of metal. all that said, if all three of us like him, we are sheep now.
Yep.
Bah.
Damn it.
We're just sheeple.
We're so close. But no, Laserbeak, I mean, and Laserbeak, there's a toy. There's a stolen Chinese toy of Laserbeak out there now. I mean, we have had
was,
no
was that under
to
embargo too? Is that how the Chinese stuff works?
No, that's not under embargo. That actually broke embargo. Because okay. I mean, when we recorded that podcast last week, that's when me and Gog found out that was Laserbeak confirmed, and we were sitting there in the podcast. We're like, oh man, we know it now. We can't tell anybody until probably after everyone else knows it, but we knew it first. But no, I mean, there's a. There's a lousy pictures of a stolen Chinese Laserbeak toy, which means that thing is going to turn into something, which I think is kind of neat. But I don't know.
It actually does turn into something, unless it were going to get another Scorponok where
or
stubby
Ravage.
Legs fold out.
Or a Ravage.
Ravage kind of works.
Yeah, Ravage turns into a
Scorponok stands
vehicle.
Up.
Yeah, well, he turns into a pretender vehicle, and I think my assumption is going to be that Laserbeak will be more like Ravage and just turn into like a weird Cybertronian VTOL thing that's shaped kind of aerodynamic. Which is funny because he turns into a bird, so why would he need to... Yeah. Go faster, I guess. Omegas, do you have anything Dark of the Moon video game-wise you want to bring up out of all this material?
I love the fact that Stealth Force isn't just a spring-loaded gimmick anymore.
Stealth Force, yeah. Engage! I'm so happy.
And apparently is a fully realized third mode where you can strafe in vehicle mode. I love this.
It's well, like Seth said, it's the War for Cybertron vehicle design. Yeah. I'm like, cool. That's actually, I think, a brilliant way to use their existing tech that works. In a way that still fits in. I mean, like I said in the podcast, at first when Seth said, yeah, so Ironhide was, you know, kind of strafing around, and I was like, what, just like gliding on his tires? Or, and so I was like,
no,
oh,
the video showed that his tires did kind of articulate extra. They looked like they were 3/4 of the way out from the wheel wells.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do vehicles in a Transformers game, doing it the War for Cybertron way worked in War for Cybertron. Yeah. So, you know, why not?
Well, not to reiterate that episode, but you know, the guy said that, you know, the Transformers aren't robots that turn into vehicles; they're robots that are vehicles. So, both modes have to be something that's actually workable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the whole fact that High Moon is working on this is marvelous because they have a very good basis on how to do Transformers in a video game setting. So. Man, like a movie game by them is getting me so pumped because so many people are going to automatically dislike it because it's the movie, but then you can kind of throw it at them and go like, yeah, but did you like War for Cybertron? And then some of them are going to go like, no, I hated it because I'm not into Transformers. And you're like, oh, well.
Shut up. No, I like the fact also that it's not going to be a movie game necessarily and that they're trying to tell the same story that the movie's telling so they can, you know, as long as you get it to this point by the end of the game, then you're fine. You're not having to figure out a way to make this 30-second fight a 2-hour-long stage.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not hitting weird things. I'm always going to say, I actually had fun playing the Revenge of the Fallen game. But, I mean, that game tried to tell the movie's story. So you hit all these things of, like, how do we, you know, let's make a boss fight out of this. Let's make a boss fight out of this.
Yeah.
Which is fun, but it does kind of make it predictable. And in some cases, it utterly upstages the film it came from, because it's like, hey, guess what? Demolisher was in the movie. He got pushed off a road, and then he got shot in the face. Right. That was it. I don't know. I mean, the main thing I wanted to bring up from this is Warpath. I love that not only is Warpath in this, but he got a massive reveal and looks like he's going to be like a boss character on par with Megatron.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing ever.
Somebody at High Moon loves him some Warpath.
I love it. It's not like Warpath's the most obscure character, but I love the... Like, I remember when they said it at High Moon, they're like, yeah, we needed a tank Autobot, and I really wanted to put Warpath in, so we put Warpath in. And I love the idea that Matt Tigger somewhere in High Moon's hierarchy is still going like, look, I may not be the lead on this game, but please put Warpath in.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so cool. I don't know. How do you guys feel about Warpath? Do you think his design looks neat? He kind of transformed like Brawl from the first movie to a degree.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of hard to get a big red tank wrong, so as long as you're...
Is it a tank? Yes, sir. Is it red? Yep.
Where's
Is
the
it
turret?
Small? No. Did it right.
Also, where's the turret? In his chest. Okay. That's Warpath.
All right. Is Kapow written anywhere on him? Yes. Bonus point.
Multiplayer. Yeah. I actually liked his head design, too, from what I remember seeing. Like, they really nailed the... like, for a movie-style head, they really got in the lines of his visor and whatnot and made him look, you know... Warpath always looks angry to me. So, they made him look Warpath angry. Also really helped out. Any other thoughts on that Dark of the Moon material?
Not really.
Lack of a Wii version?
Oh yeah, let's have another rail shooter, please.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's have another rail shooter, and let's make it as good as Dead Space Extraction. That's what I would say.
Oh boy. You can play it with your squishy top lollipops.
Hey!
Oh, is that some smack talk coming from the Wii player?
Oh, here we go. Wii versus Move.
Do it. Do it.
Let's not get into that. Let's not get into that.
The Wii inherently looks cooler than the Move because the Move has a giant squishy pom-pom on the top of the controller. That's always going to be a thing when it comes to the look of it. But outside of that, I really need to play a Wii.
Me and my Wii, if a ninja breaks through the window, I've got a weapon.
I've got to try a Wii Motion Plus. I still haven't messed with a Wii Motion Plus for more than like half a minute. I really got to try that so I can legitimately think of some comparisons. I just really like my favorite thing about that Move. This is off topic, but I walked away from the camera that can see it, and I was waving it up and down, and it could still kind of tell that I was waving it up and down. That kind of made me happy.
Yeah, it probably still has gyroscopes and accelerometers in it, so it can still do that stuff. It just doesn't have the pointing precision.
Yeah. And it looks so creepy.
That was one of my favorite things with Wii Sports, was messing with people playing baseball. I would go get something from the kitchen and pitch the ball, and people would freak out. What are you doing? How'd you do that? Just gotta shake it.
The only other things I can really think of, aside from lack of a Wii version, is possibly lack of a PC version, which some people were bringing up in the thread. And I've always kind of been won over by the argument I've heard made elsewhere, which is that PC versions of anything are much harder to sell because
they're
much easier.
Don't have the volume.
Well, they're much easier to pirate too.
Right.
When you make a PC version of something, you open up your code more than if you kept it on consoles. Not to say consoles are indefensible to that, but people crack open PC versions of things all the time. I mean, the consoles are not invincible. I can already say this because the new Mortal Kombat games demo just came out, and someone already broke it open and found a giant list of like all the secrets in the game.
Oh my god!
Oh wow!
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
From the demo, they managed to crack it open because the demo has the tower mode in it, like a locked off version of the tower mode. But that means the whole tower mode is in the demo. Someone just busted it open, and now they know everything in the tower mode.
Right.
Well, yeah, almost like they.
I was going to say the PS3's encryption has been completely busted, so.
Yeah. Omegas, what were you going to say about the tower mode?
I was going to say it was almost like they got lazy and just blocked off the full version of the game rather than make another build for a demo.
Well, I mean,
It'll be the first time.
There were tower mode ending. Like, basically, I think almost all the data that came out of that was tower mode data, so I think there's just like a stripped down tower mode in that demo.
Well, all the story mode there was in there, all the bios, all the endings.
I saw an argument made that those might have been tower mode endings as opposed to single player story mode endings. Apparently, there were different endings in DC versus MK depending on how you played through it.
From what I read, there were arcade style endings where you just get, okay, here's a little blurb, a little artwork. And then there's like a whole story mode where you actually follow a path of some sort.
Yeah, so apparently the leaked endings from Mortal Kombat might have just been one of two endings akin to that, I've been told, but I haven't kept up with it that well. And this also isn't the MCast. That's actually a podcast. The MK. Yeah,
another podcast. More video games.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dark of the Moon. It's a video game. It's allowed. Anyway, if we don't have anything else to say about Dark of the Moon right now,
let's close this puppy up.
Yeah, the only big toy reveal I could think of is that Laserbeak toy, and that was a horrible ass picture. I couldn't tell anything about the toy from that picture.
Was a Bionicle.
Your standard first round of stolen Chinese prototype toy pictures.
For a crappy cell phone picture, that was the worst crappy cell phone picture, because it's like it wasn't even lit. It's like the guy had no lights on. You just see this like blurry pixelated shape.
And sometimes I wonder if that's like the Chinese troller competition. See who can take the worst photos and get people the most excited about the toy.
Yeah, the worst photo that still shows just enough to cause 20 pages of discussion.
Yeah.
I believe we're done here. Other than a reiteration that you should totally call the hotline.
What's the number?
I was about to ask you to do it right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the way that I feel it was always intended to be done. That number is area code 318-775-WTF0. That's 318-775-WTF0.
What is that again?
I'm not doing it three times.
Do it the third time. Do it.
All right. I'll do it the third time. 318-775-WTF0. That's 318-775-WTF0. I did it four times.
There we go.
Try and stop me.
Now you're just overkilling it.
Oh, yes. Four times. We're going to get like an extra two callers. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm feeling very woozy and malnourished, so I am going to eat something. I thought you should all know that. Thank you, Omegas and Aaron, for coming by. There's a moth in my room.
Kill it. Kill it.
Kill it with fire.
Over. Come back here. Oh, I totally sniped it. Dude. I took a pair of shoes and I totally clapped them near it and I totally cut it in half. And then it fell on my bed and I find the sight of insect corpses incredibly nauseating, so I brush it off onto the floor.
Anyway, on that note.
And ending the podcast on murder.
Good night, everybody.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.